Batteries are full. You've got to have a full charge in your batteries to be able to demonstrate alpha behavior. This means that you've got to feel so sure of yourself that you don't need to constantly nurture your self-esteem, and you've got very few areas of insecurity that come up in normal day-to-day interactions. Don't expect to be at your best if you're feeling drained or empty of energy. Men need to spend time alone to recharge their social and psychological batteries. Women tend to do this recharging by being around other female friends. Whatever your method is, be sure you're keeping your batteries fully charged. There are certain situations that'll drain you to where you're drained and then you're unlikely to be very alpha with women. For example, just after a breakup, when you've had a long losing streak with women, maybe you've got a lot of drama and drainage coming from your immediate social circle or your family, you're suffering from bouts of depression or anxiety, maybe unrelated to women, you suffered a large setback or loss, such as a loss of a job or a good friend or your business or your dog, or you maybe crashed your car. Just remember that you're not going to have the same attitude and confidence as if things were all going your way and hunky-dory. You've got to recharge again before you can regain your alpha man effectiveness. Now, this is especially true with attracting women because they're drained on your levels of charge. Women take a lot of energy out of a guy, and they don't return a lot of that energy back to you until further down the road. So you have to be strong and confident enough for two people at the start, not just yourself. Keep your batteries charged by keeping your own passions alive and finding those things that return the energy back to you. When you recapture that power, you're going to find it much easier to be effective with women and seduction. Purge the beta. Welcome in the alpha. One of the best things you can do in your life is a planned and contemplated change. A part of that change is sweeping through your life and determining what has a place in your new alpha life. What belongs can stay, and what doesn't belong must go. Here are some things to get rid of. Anything related to an old girlfriend. This junk just holds your attitude back and keeps you living in the past. You can be sentimental later with the junk that you get from a new girlfriend. Any sad CDs that make you weepy and emotional. Any clothes that don't fit you well or look good on you. You must be uncompromising about your appearance. Anything that reminds you of negative emotions or times from your past. If that couch of yours is something you bought when you moved out from your girlfriend a few years back, well, maybe it's time to get a new one. Anything you might own that could be considered derogatory to women, or to anybody for that matter. No hardcore pornography or paintings of women taking it in the butt from a demon. Any emotional or mental baggage that you may be holding on to for another woman. If you've got any women that you've been holding out for, or any woman that you think you can go back to, you need to cut them loose. Let them go. That's clutter you don't need in your head or in your heart. Anything you own that doesn't fit a picture of a together, mature male adult. Those Star Wars sheets with C-3PO on them? Gotta go. Those Superman comics? Hide them in the closet. The Penthouse magazines? Get them out of sight. Try to keep up a neat, coordinated, well-decorated place to live. Remember, the goal is you want to look like you're a together guy. Get rid of the whiny man-bitch friends that you have that try to drag you down to their level. There's so much to say on this topic that I'm actually dedicating the next section to it. Get rid of those whiny she-man boyfriends of yours. Most guys are running around with a boat anchor around their neck. These anchors are their negative attitude, got-no-game, man-bitch, whining pussy boyfriends. Don't get caught up in the game of rehabilitating your friends. I know that peer groups are often very difficult to separate from. Honestly, if you feel like it's too painful to get rid of certain friends to get to this new state of alpha manhood, well, then you'll never do it. You'll just sit there in the pack, kissing the asses of the alpha dogs in front of you that have no problem blazing their own trail and getting all the pussy. And then you can all get together and cry over the same beer about that woman that done you wrong and never learn. Now, I know this sounds harsh, but just like the Serengeti, the jungle is real, and it's all around you. It's just camouflaged by the smiles and clever devices of civilization. Remember that it's okay to have acquaintances of all kinds, but you must be ruthlessly selective about your friends. Get rid of the people that are holding you back, or at the least, you have to just reduce their influence on your life. Hang with the other alphas. You need to get positive male role models into your life right away. Once you rid yourself of the negative influences in your world, you need to replace them with strong, uplifting guys that you can hang out with. This is the replacement of a bad habit with a new, better habit. If you don't select your friends, you're going to end up in default with whoever comes along, and that is not acceptable or desirable if you want to climb the alpha ladder. Make sure you find as many other alpha men to hang out with as you possibly can. Observe their behavior. Study their abilities with women, because you're going to learn the most about real alpha man traits this way. In fact, you'll learn much faster as you're going to see examples in the real world. Indirect versus direct attraction. How it works. There's two ways you can try to influence people in your life, indirectly and directly. Now, when I say directly, I do not mean walking up and telling a person, I am confident and honest. I deserve your respect and attraction. You like me right now. They take one look at you and they'd think you're a complete idiot and they'd walk away. This is why being a nice guy doesn't work. You're trying to tell people how great you are through actions that are direct in the wrong way. They're just words. We don't trust those. Directly influencing attraction in another person means this. You must behave in ways that reach their inner psychological attraction mechanisms the fastest and most effectively. There are two ways to actually do something: the way you rationally think it might work best, and the way that it actually gets you results. Sometimes they're the same, but with human behavior, they are rarely the same. I want you to tattoo this on your body in a place that you can refer to it every day until it actually sinks in. The only thing that matters is results. Let me say that again. The only thing that matters is results. This is your new cutthroat alpha attitude. Okay, this is going to help you deflect the irrational, the weird, and the unreal out of your life because you can't afford to deal in that shit. I preach this in all of my books and audio programs, that the only thing that matters is results. Perhaps the single most frustrating part of human existence is to take actions that we believe should work, but they actually do something completely different. Now, I'm not suggesting that you throw your goodwill out the window or become an instant asshole. I'm telling you, however, that if you think that being nice to everybody in your world, or non-intrusive, or non-demanding, or non-assertive, and that's going to somehow get you more friends or further in life and love, you're horribly mistaken. Buddhist monks come up with some incredibly good insight and spiritual enlightenment when they're cooped up in a monastery meditating all the time and not getting any pussy, but you and I, who are now basically living and interacting with other real flesh and blood people in the real world, we have to abide by a different law of the jungle. Be good to other people, but be completely firm and clear about getting what you want out of life for yourself. Now, I consider myself a devoutly spiritual person. That is not religious, mind you. It's spiritual. But I do not believe for one instant that God, Allah, or any other divine entity is going to intervene on my behalf and make things happen down here. God, I want you to give me a new car. I guess he didn't hear me? What? I don't understand it. Why do I not get a new car? Oh, yeah, because it's up to me. If it's to be, it is up to me. I want you to repeat that with me right now. If it is to be, it is up to me. There's an old joke that goes like this. This farmer was stranded out on the roof of his house when a flash flood came along and trapped him up there. Well, first a man on a raft floated by to him and said, "Hey man, come on, jump on. I can get you downstream to safety." The farmer said, "Thanks, but the good Lord will save me." The man on the raft shrugged his shoulders and went on to find other people. Then a powerboat came by with some rescue workers, and they said, "Hey, man, jump in. We can take you to safety." The farmer said, "Thanks, but the good Lord will save me." And the boat went on to find others. Next, a helicopter came by, and they said, "Hey, we'll send a ladder down. Climb up, and we'll take you to safety." The farmer said, "Thanks, but the good Lord will save me." And the helicopter went on to find other people. The waters rose and rose, and eventually the farmer drowned. He arrived at the gates of heaven where God was sitting and waiting for him. And the farmer said, "Lord, why did you forsake me? I waited for you to save me, and you never came." And God shook his head and sighed, saying, "I sent a raft, a boat, and a helicopter. What more did you want?" The moral of that little story is that you better recognize when opportunity is knocking at your door, even if it doesn't look the way you would have pictured it. You can go through your whole life and never take a stand for yourself, winding up bitter and faithless, or you can make your own reality while still upholding your religious and spiritual beliefs. Don't pray for any other spiritual entity to change the world for you. Do it yourself. Faith gives us the power to do what we must. I believe faith is the conduit of power from whatever you might think of as the all-powerful to us. Start with faith in yourself. So back to our topic. How do you directly attract people as opposed to indirectly? Well, directly means that you show you want something with your obvious language and actions. This isn't very attractive to women because you express a need that doesn't show any benefits for the other person. It's like leading with a request for them to give to you before you've given to them. Indirectly attracting someone is when you attract someone closer to you by methods that do not obviously show them that you're just trying to get your own needs met. It's when you say with your actions that you want someone as your friend, but by showing how good a friend you can be first, instead of showing how much you want or need them as your friend. Okay, obviously, indirectly is better. We are all driven by self-interest. Ultimately, people have a certain level of charity that they're willing to give, but we all need to satisfy our own desires to a certain level. I'm willing to be your friend, but not just because you want me to be your friend. When you show me the benefits of being your friend, I'll be a lot more open to it. Some people may say that this is cynical, that we're not all this self-motivated, right? But that's a little naive and ignorant. We are all tuned into WIIFM, our favorite radio station. What's in it for me, WIIFM? Keep your objectives to yourself and use indirect attraction to get you what you desire. Alpha exercise. Read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Now, the book is a bit old, but it's still the best of its kind. You're going to learn the basic principles of how to get people to give you what you want by appealing to their own desires. This book is full of priceless ways to cultivate a winning charisma with other people, and it takes a lot less effort than you think. Why Women Want and Need Resistance. By now, if you're a student of seduction in any way, whether that's from my books or programs, one thing you know is that playing hard to get works. What you may or may not be aware of is that it works better on women than it does on men, if it's used correctly. Why does hard to get work? Hard to get implies value. If you're difficult to get, you're obviously in demand and therefore valuable. Our nervous systems are already pre-programmed for this. Once you've established that you're in demand from your hard to get behavior, the next step is to show that others value you. We all want what other people want. If you were not worthwhile, other people would not want you. It's just social proof all over again. Think about this for a minute. Women, generally speaking, do not get to display their competitive sides in ways that guys do. We men compete out in the open, in the football stadium, or in a good old-fashioned bare-knuckle brawl. We compete for position and power. We're out of the closet with our competition. Women, however, do not have the luxury of displaying aggression or physical competition, nor do they derive pleasure from those forms. Men are actually turned off by aggressive behavior between women. Women are distinctly polarized against violence. What they prefer to do is much more subtle and intricate. Women prefer to compete for resources and the ability to survive. You see, women need to have challenges to overcome, too. They have a certain set of goal-seeking behaviors, and in order for them to have a sense of accomplishment, as everyone needs in life, they must be given obstacles to overcome. Women also want to let out some of their aggression, and part of that outlet is breaking out of the strict social rules that she must deal with every day. She wants to chase, but she has no real avenue to do it. She has no desire to chase if a man makes it easy for her all the time by giving her what it is she wants to work for. And that's where you can help her. You must always be aware of a woman's need to not be run over with your enthusiasm. You will lead her to you by virtue of your alpha behavior. Don't deny her the satisfaction of taking part in the chase. You can lead a woman where you want her by giving her the opportunity to come after you. Don't diffuse this energy by doing all the work of chasing her in the course of your seduction. Make it hard. Remember, a woman also wants what she cannot have. Think about what the most satisfying tension in your life has been. Well, for most people, it's anticipation. Anticipation, waiting for something that you want, dreaming of it at night, so that it builds into a fever pitch until it's all you can think about. And now consider what the biggest letdown is. An easy win. You ever played a basketball game or any kind of game and won by a ridiculous number of points? Or maybe you watched a Super Bowl where one of the team was ahead by 31 points at halftime? Well, it's no fun then, and you lose all interest in it. The most unsatisfying experience, the most disappointing feeling, is when you get something you want with little or no effort. It doesn't feel like you paid for it. And this is why you should absolutely, definitely not make it too easy for a woman to get you. Alpha strategy. Make another list. This one's going to be a list of all the ways in which you have made it too easy for women to get you. It'll probably include things like this. Being too available, answering the phone every time she calls, or always being available to go out anytime she wants. Telling her you love her as soon as possible and as many times as possible. Answering emails right away and then making those answers way too long. Calling her every night. Writing her love letters and poems, burning her music CDs, giving her gifts too early in the relationship, introducing her to your family as soon as you could, letting her keep stuff over at your house after just a few weeks of knowing each other. Now think about this one for a while, and you'll probably find lots of ways that you haven't been putting up enough constructive resistance to the women in your life. Once you've identified the ways that you've been too available for them, start coming up with ways of challenging her more. Give yourself an opportunity to be hard to get for once. Don't be fooled. Women have a special mode of behavior that they use in the real world that's easy to misinterpret. They'll come off with a cool, detached, almost bitchy kind of attitude. And you see this when you meet a woman in public. Why do they behave this way? First, think about all the benefits that it carries with them. First, it puts men on the defense since they feel they have to work to get her approval. It makes them seem unattainable and, hence, more valuable. It puts them in control. It makes them seem confident and strong. Inevitably, most every woman that came off of with this ultra-cool attitude when I met her has always been an emotional and self-esteem mess when I got to know her really well later on. After you date a woman for a few months or even less, she'll start to reveal things about herself that you wish she would have kept secret. It's a rare woman that is brought up with a genuine sense of self-esteem and security. These good women don't need to keep up a bitch shield all the time. Here are a few truths to remember that are lurking under a woman's well-practiced veneer of behavior. She's not nearly as cool as you think. In fact, she's nervous and afraid 90% of the time. She's afraid her makeup is running. She's afraid her pants make her look fat. She's afraid her hair is messy. She's afraid her tits are too small. The list goes on and on. She doesn't like the other women in her circle of friends nearly as much as you think. Women are experts at working that girlfriend attitude, that they're really close and loyal, as hard as they can. Recognize that underneath it all, she's jealous and critical of them, just like everyone else. She lives her life in comparison to the women all around her, and she wouldn't hesitate to do what she needs to get ahead. She's in deathly fear of losing her looks every single day. You've never seen a soldier fight a battle harder than a woman fighting another year of getting older, especially in her mid to late 30s. When a woman doesn't know what to say or how to handle the attention of a man, she hides behind her bitch shield for protection. What you misinterpret as disinterest is usually total nervousness and clueless behavior that she falls back on by default. Remember this the next time you want to go over and talk to a woman. She's more nervous and fearful than you are. That should take a bit of the edge off of your own fear. Subordination. Deep in the heart of almost every woman is a need to find a man that they can look up to and respect. Women have evolved to look to a man to be a source of strength for them. They want and need a man that they can respect and, ideally, revere. The evolutionary causes should be pretty obvious for this. Any woman that wanted to ensure protection for herself and her offspring would have to choose a man that was an alpha. He had to have the strength along with the savvy. He had to be confident enough to take the upper hand over the woman's status in the interests of survival, even if it meant her disapproval. Any man that allowed the woman to make bad survival decisions might not live, nor would his wife or his children or his legacy. I'm going to make a very charged and controversial statement here, but it's one that you're going to understand the truth of if you've been successful in your work to get rid of your nice guy wimp thinking that most of the guys today have. Think about this and then relate it to experience, not just your own experience directly with women, but with the men that you've seen who have had the most success with women. By the way, this doesn't necessarily mean people that you know are married. Marriage is not an indicator of success with a woman. My statement is this: women need men to dominate them. You heard me right. Not in a barefoot and pregnant kind of way, or even anything resembling abuse of any kind. I believe that women deserve all the social rights and equalities that men have today. What I'm talking about here is the necessary kind of commanding and nurturing domination that men have always provided. Now, when I say dominate, I mean a man who can assertively, not angrily, tell her when she's acting up and correct her. A man who has the ability to abandon her, but he chooses not to for the duration that she can meet his needs. Initiate. Take the first steps of any necessary action to ensure that the job gets done. Providing guidance and support for a woman to ensure that she meets the goals that she has set. Demonstrating superior value and power. You see, a woman needs a man that she feels is more powerful than her. Or, stated another way, a woman cannot remain sexually attracted to a man that she feels is less powerful than her, or a man that she feels she's a little too equal to. Do you remember when the marriage vows used to say, love, honor, and obey? Then there was this big stink, this feminist uproar over the inclusion of obey, and it was dropped from the ceremony. What that vow was really saying was the unspoken reality that for a long-term relationship to work, there has to be a point where a man can command authority over a woman. If he does not, then she will lose her feeling of security with him, and her subconscious attraction mechanism will point her away from him and towards a man that can provide that feeling of emotional desire. Women want men who make them feel instinctually safe and valued. They also know, at that instinctual level, that the only men that can do this are the ones that can take charge and take control of situations when needed, and these are men with superior power. A woman will feel a sexual attraction for a man that raises her primal desires without raising her emotional warning signals. So you must develop this alpha confidence and alpha man power to the level that you are not afraid to play this role in her life. Your primary obstacle to achieving this will be your fear of angering a woman or being rejected by her. You have to raise your own level of confidence to the level that you can take control when necessary, dominate when necessary, and also give control when necessary. Sometimes you have to give up power to show your own confidence that you have power. And remember that the kind of woman who demands command and control of you is not the kind of woman that you can forge a reliable relationship with. Go ahead. Try. I've seen men end up miserable and beaten down from trying with these kinds of women, and that's not where you want to live out the rest of your life. These are the guys commonly referred to as pussy whipped. And if you've ever seen one of these couples, neither one of them is happy in the situation they're stuck in. Take control and stay alpha from the very start, and this doesn't have to be your fate. Demonstrating alpha man behavior with women. If you want to get a real woman, you're going to have to show her a real man. Sounds like a country music song, huh? Here are some of the ways we've discussed that you can demonstrate alpha man behavior to a woman. Never leave a message with a woman. Never let a woman get a rise out of you. Never ignore a woman's tests. Never bet more than you can afford to lose with a woman. Never let a woman boss you or command you around. Never expect a woman to make all the moves. And you're always showing her a confident man. I learned at an early age that women hold a lot of power over us, and they're very aware of that. I remember meeting up with a girl that I was seeing, a girl named Katrina, who I hit it off with right away. I got together with her a couple times, and on the second makeout session, she broke the news to me. She wanted to be able to see other people. At that age, I had never encountered this before. I was devastated. How could she not want me and only me? Well, to make a long story short, I realized that she was only playing me for a sucker, and I dropped her as quickly as I could. I remember watching when my best friend spent a couple of hours going through the exact same devastating effect when his girlfriend told him the exact same thing. The message that neither one of us really understood at the time was that we failed to keep those girls interested by being alpha, and this was their way of breaking it off with us. They were bored of us, and they wanted to see if they could go find another guy that would light up their attraction center in their brain without seeming like they were rejecting us. That was the first time I realized what kind of power that women hold over us. I suspect a lot of guys went through similar experiences in their lives, going from let's go out with each other, instant girlfriend, boyfriend, to the world where women wanted to see other people or just be friends. You know, women still use these phrases when they're trying to let a guy down gently. We'll go through some more of the strategies in this section that will keep you from falling into this trap. Let her fall in love first. Now, at first glance, I bet you're thinking this is some kind of emotional blackmail tactic. You've read a lot of the books out there, and holding back seems manipulative. It seems false. After all, a real relationship is grounded in trust and openness, honesty. If both sides hold out, how will anything ever happen between you? It's not manipulative or blackmail to let her fall in love first, and let me explain to you why this is. The person who gives up their emotional control first is the one that is the most at the mercy of the other. If you let yourself fall in love with a woman before you have her at the same level of involvement, you're opening yourself up to a very dangerous situation. She now has all the power over your sense of self-esteem. Women want to be the ones to fall in love and then find out if you feel the same way. It's a delicious torture for them. If you do that backwards by telling her or falling for her first, well, she knows it won't feel the same way or nearly as satisfying. Now, the truly powerful alpha man can fall in love with a woman, tell her, and then walk away without even needing to hear if she feels the same way or not. It's a little like those old movies where the man in the trench coat tells the woman who's about to get on a plane that he's always loved her and he always will. If she gets on the plane and leaves him, he just shrugs and walks on. If she tells him she feels the same and he must come with her, he just shrugs and gets on board. It's not the most realistic situation, but the attitude that he's giving off is right on the money, because either way, it's happily ever after for him. Mixed signals. One of those behaviors that guys encounter all the time that totally baffles them are the incredibly bizarre mixed signals. Here's what happens. John is out and he meets a scrumptious little redhead named Susie. Susie's hot, and it appears that Susie's also aware of it. John starts talking to her, and they seem to hit it off fairly well. Susie smiles and even touches him a couple times on the arm. I'm in, he thinks to himself. This is pretty cool. But then, for no reason at all, Susie starts giving him a little bit of a chill. He asks her a question about where she went to school, and she says, back east. Now she's quiet, and he ends up pushing her. What's wrong? He asks, feeling totally strange for having to ask this so soon. Nothing, she says. And John starts pulling away and acting distant in order to counter her coldness. And she eventually makes an excuse about having to go meet someone and leaves. John is left with shaken confidence and anger, unable to go talk to another woman after this incident. Once again, mixed signals from women are just par for the course. Women will give them off just because they can, and they know how it rattles the world for most guys, especially the nice guys. The women that are used to getting their way all the time are the most guilty of this. One minute, she's super sweet, usually way too sweet, and the next minute, she's acting like she couldn't care if you dropped dead of a massive stroke right in front of her. Let's get a look at it from the woman's point of view during the situation so that you can see what she gets out of giving off mixed signals. John comes up to Susie, and Susie thinks, not bad. They start to talk, and things seem pretty positively charged. And then for no reason at all, she doesn't feel quite as excited about John. Maybe he's not doing anything really extraordinary, or maybe she just feels it's the right time to just drop the hammer. Maybe she freaks and thinks that she's coming out too strong herself, so she backs off, having nothing to do with him. And this is, by the way, the most often the common situation. Whatever. Okay, so she starts acting a little bit standoffish to John. Now you start to feel his distance. If you're anything less than an alpha man, you start to become afraid of losing her. Your thoughts start to run wild. Oh no, you think, she's slipping away. Panic starts to rise up in the back of your head. You start to get a little nervous, and you start changing your behavior to accommodate her more. Get her to like me. Get her to like me. You stop teasing and being playful and start to try to lock her back in. Some guys try to move in faster, while other guys start to throw out compliments or fish for feedback, or even brag about themselves in a futile attempt to reel this fish back in. In Susie's head, she's thinking, aha, I knew it. Another guy who doesn't have a whole lot of self-confidence. Or sometimes the guy responds by pulling away as a retaliation for her coldness, thinking that I'll show her. And what happens? He totally blows it and loses the connection. How does an alpha man handle the situation? Like this. Susie starts to back off. Maybe there are a few uncomfortable silences, but John doesn't care. He keeps talking to her, but he backs off just a little. He's perfectly happy in the sphere of his own reality. He's beginning to wonder if this chick is even able to hold up her part of a conversation, and if she'd really be interesting to date at all. She better start doing more to impress me, he thinks. Meanwhile, he's also finding other ways to keep himself entertained. If Susie's with a friend, he'll start a friendly conversation with her. Not too flirtatious, just friendly. Or maybe even order another beer and just talk to the bartender for a little bit about something. Or if they're in a group, he'll just chat with everybody. He doesn't respond or react to her cold behavior. After a few minutes of a break, if she continues to keep silent or cold, he decides she's probably either rude or she's mentally unstable. The reality is that a woman who has a genuine interest in a guy will go right back to, or at least will return to, showing her interest in him if he doesn't give off any needy or desperate vibes after a lull in the conversation. If he's not pushy and he seems genuinely confident, she will stay interested. And an alpha doesn't suddenly doubt his masculinity just because the woman withdraws her attention and approval. Some of the possible reasons that a woman will start acting hot and cold with you are: she's suddenly keenly aware that her girlfriends are there with her, and she's really out to have fun with them, not to get laid. In fact, she finds meeting a new man kind of scary, since her friends are probably going to judge her, so it's better to shut you down. Sometimes this is called the anti-slut defense. She doesn't want to appear promiscuous, so she'll reject you if she becomes too aware that she's being seduced. She's young and immature. Most women up to the age of 26 are in the stage where they're being ruled by their emotions and the present moment. Her mood can change like a stoplight, and it often does. The only way to combat this is to keep her attraction and buying temperature so high that she ignores everything else. She's nervous and gets tongue-tied. This is where you need to be confident and keep the conversation going, to help her through her nervousness. A lot of guys misinterpret her silence as giving the cold shoulder, but in reality she's probably not too secure herself, and she just runs out of steam. She knows that she can test you. As in the case that I just described, she knows she can learn more about a man in a few seconds of giving him the cold shoulder than she could in a month of dating him, so she'll find herself doing it in response to a man who is showing her obvious interest. She knows she's got his interest already, so she's not really afraid of turning him off. It's the single best way to find out what a man is really made of. The secret to handling the situation, and almost every situation with women, is that you must never fully reveal your interest level in her. At the same time, you must use the push-pull technique to keep a level of heightened sexual attraction going between you. And to top it off, you have to be confident enough to not let your cage get rattled when there's these silences or moments of doubt. A woman wants a man who has enough confidence for both of them and can help guide her through her own nervousness. She doesn't want a man that gets uncertain and clingy when he feels the rug is getting pulled out from under him. The true alpha man will also take this tactic and use it himself from time to time. Sometimes I make it a point to turn my interest away from the woman that I'm hanging out with. not in a rude way or anything like that, but enough to make her wonder if she's really got me. Rule: a woman should never feel like she's got you in the early stages of dating. Wander off for a minute. Right when things are going well, go talk to a friend or go take a leak. Don't do it too abruptly or rudely, but with an air of, you know what, I really don't need you. Let's see what else is out there. And then when you return, you'll have more of her interest, because she'll be grateful. Alpha tactic. The next time you sense that a woman is either tongue-tied or running low on juice during an interaction, say this: are you okay? You seem a little nervous. She might admit that she is nervous, and then you can just give her a wink and a pat on the arm that, hey, it's okay. Give her a little bit of alpha reassurance. Be the confident guy. If she says no, just smile and nod at her, maybe with a small chuckle that says, yeah, sure, I know the truth. And then launch a whole new topic of conversation. If she seems more distant than before, she's probably a bitch, and you should eject from the situation. Give her a few minutes, and you'll either sense that she drops her cold shoulder routine, or she just doesn't have the same level of interest. The key to pulling this off is to not seem too arrogant and truly act like she's not flustering you at all. YASS. Recognize the chick players. Keep in mind that beautiful women, and especially younger women, are bombarded with attempts to get them into bed. They can have their pick of the men out there, and they can even have their pick of the alphas. It's easy to be led on by a woman, especially one that likes to play men for the attention. I call this the YASS syndrome. This stands for, you are so sweet. Imagine the life of a beautiful woman for a moment. Ever since she was little, she's been told what a beautiful girl she is. She's harvested attention from everybody in her world, and her self-esteem was built by all this admiration for her looks. She learned very early how easy boys were to manipulate and how easy they are to get to do her bidding. They'd do whatever she said just for the opportunity to be with her. When she was a teenager, she'd prick tease them, letting them think that they might get a piece of her pie at some point, but she always managed to get away without delivering on that. Usually after she used you, and as she's leaving you or going off to her boyfriend, she'd say, oh, you're so sweet. And that, my friends, is the consolation prize she wants you to have for being one of her groupies. She collects guys like this, even the dumb ones that buy her things and get nothing in return, and she gives them her best speech about, oh, if I didn't have a boyfriend, we'd be together, or some other bullshit like that. She's an attention whore. Learn to recognize these women when they pop up in your life. They're the women that you sense you'll never get anywhere with, but they lead you on like an expert. They play the alpha game with you, but they always stay just outside your reach. They can be seduced, but you've got to be totally sharp and focused to get into their bubble of illusion. The key to avoiding women like this, the chick players and the time wasters of an alpha man's life, is to recognize when she's really not attracted to you or not likely to follow through sexually with you. Here are some of the signs. She says, you're so sweet. She's giving you consolation prizes for not coming through. One is to tell you what a great guy you are or how sweet you are to cover up her flakiness and inability to be there for you. Condescending consolation prizes. This is another form of the previous one, but you smell them by their tone and the way she delivers them and the way she seems to pity you slightly. Oh, aren't you a sweetie, she says, patting your arm or giving you a peck on the cheek. This is usually accompanied by a facial expression like she's looking at puppies in the window of a store. Attention shots. She gives you attention in occasional doses, just like shots of alcohol, just to keep you around and keep you hopeful. She'll break away from you to talk with some friends, and then she'll turn her attention back to you in a way that almost seems flattering, but she's really just giving you a little bit of maintenance attention so that you don't totally lose interest and walk away. So, John, tell me about this place you work at again. Something about a bank or something? Yeah, I work at... Oh, hey, here's Sarah. Hey, yeah, Sarah. Woohoo! She'll also toss you an occasional compliment or boost to your male ego, but it's never very sincere. And you know deep in your heart she's just not digging you. But you keep playing her game, using you for favors. She has you buy her drinks or give her some kind of benefit as proof of your sincerity or worthiness. She'll have you drive her or her friends around from party to party or bar to bar. She's a user. Leading you on and always backing off. She'll sometimes be very sexually forward, but always manage to keep you from getting anything real from her, like a real kiss or some heavy petting. Just when you think she's letting you get somewhere, she finds a distraction. Ooh, look at that beach! She slaps your arm and pushes you back from a kiss, pointing to the television. Constantly backing out of plans. These women are about as reliable as the weather. They'll only show up to dates or situations that are favorable to them, and this is always subject to their mood. You might get them out to a social scene, but you're not likely to get her isolated anytime soon. There's no follow-through. Alpha tactic. One of the best ways to get beautiful women is to knock them off their pedestal of security. The most beautiful women respond the least to attention and compliments. What they respond to most is a man who is not hypnotized by their beauty and does not react to it. The first tactic you use with them is what I call the scan. What you do is this. When you're with a woman who obviously knows that she's hot and she makes some kind of cocky comment about how good looking she is, stop the conversation dead to look her up and down, slowly from head to toe. Keep a completely serious face until you're done with the scan, and then chuckle to yourself while shaking your head, and then turn away. Most every time, she'll either pull you back or demand that you keep talking to her. Don't act mean to her, but don't give her any look of interest. She'll then proceed to wiggle her way back into your good graces and approval. What? Don't you think I'm pretty? The second tactic is just ignoring her. When she comes up with a cocky comment about her looks, you wrinkle your forehead, look away, and laugh like you can't believe you just heard that. Start ignoring things she says on occasion, including direct questions to you. Huh? What was that? What'd you say? Hot women respond to these tactics the most because it challenges her externally validated opinion of her beauty. She's so used to getting confirmation that any contrary response is going to come off as a challenge to her. Now use this only on the really hot 9s and 10s that know it. No strings attached. The single best way to treat a woman is to never try to tie her down or obligate her. Keep commitment out of the picture at all costs for as long as possible. The trick, of course, is to not make it appear as though you're just another commitment-phobic guy. A woman is always looking for the best fun she can get, with the least obligation or commitment to her. She just wants to have fun. You remember the song, don't you? Girls just want to have fun. So you can never restrict or inhibit her ability to feel that freedom, or she will respond by rejecting you. When she realizes that the fun you give her is only available from you, she'll become more attached and more likely to stick with you. But remember to always insert a pause or a time when you're totally out of contact with her. This demonstrates both extremes to her, so she can feel the contrast. She has to feel the good and the absence of the good. Give her the opportunity to miss out on the fun so that she can recognize what it is she had. Like the other song goes, you don't know what you got till it's gone. The second you start to make her feel tied down or held back, she's going to fight against you and pull away. So the only way to get commitment from many women is just to stay just barely outside her reach until she pulls you in to her. Now, I realized this in my own life when I was dating a woman that didn't want to date just one guy. And I could tell this without her even saying the words. So for about 10 months, we were just occasional partners getting together for a little bit of fun every week or so and then going to dinner every so often. I kept seeing many other women. I did have strong feelings for her, but I kept her at arm's length. I knew that she'd never commit if I wanted her to do it. It would have to be her decision. Eventually, when she knew that there were other women vying for my attention, she popped the question to me to ask me to go exclusive. Now, that took over 10 months. How's that for patience? This is the way you must handle it with a woman you feel that might be a keeper. You have to be coy, but not too unavailable. Just enough so she feels she has to work to keep you around. Eventually, she'll want to make you her one and only, but until she makes that decision, you can't make it. She has to decide to make this commitment first. The more free she is to leave, the more likely she is to stick around. Mystery. One of my favorite shows is watching the crime scene CSI shows on television. I actually get them on DVD. It's easier that way. I've always had a fascination about how evidence can be put together to formulate a picture of an event that occurred in the past, or to analyze something and break it down into elements that could easily be understood. Now, if you've ever watched the show, it's actually very formulaic, but it's very well made. They also spent some time on developing the characters of the cast, which gives it some depth and, you know, you want to stick with the show. The typical show starts with an event, usually a murder or a mystery surrounding a death, and you only see part of it. And then the CSI team come in and collect the evidence to piece together what happened. It's like a mystery in reverse. Think about the last mystery movie or book that you read, and then think about what makes a mystery compelling to watch. What is it that keeps you interested? Hint, it's what you don't know that keeps you watching or reading. When you figure out who did it or what the mystery is, you lose interest. I'm always excited about a movie that can keep me guessing because it's so rare that they actually outsmart me these days, and there's nothing worse than figuring it out too easily. What do you think it's like for a woman who is getting to know a man? I'll tell you right now, she wants this romance to play out just like a mystery. You ever wondered who reads the most mystery novels? Yep, women. What's he like? Where is he from? What does he do when I'm not around? What's his story? These are all the questions a woman wants to find out through her own little internal detective agency. Not from you telling her directly. There's no fun when somebody gives up the clues. She wants to find them out a little bit at a time. Keep her in suspense. The fatal mistake most would-be alpha men make is to tell her too much too quickly, hoping that the more she knows about him, the more her rational mind is going to want him. Well, guess what? It doesn't work that way. Familiarity does not always breed contempt, but it does bore her very quickly. You have to keep things interesting for her. And by not giving her every detail of your little life, you show her that you have discretion and self-control. Marinade. You should also be aware that dating a woman is like cooking a good meal. Marinating is the process of soaking fish or meat in seasoning or spices to enhance the taste when you cook it. What you're doing in the early part of the process of dating is learning how to marinate certain bits of information with her so that she's properly seasoned. Forgive my cooking analogy here. You must marinate her in the attention that you give her, allowing her space and freedom to think about you on her own time, thus allowing her to sell herself more and more on what it is that's going to come. Alpha strategy. Make sure you marinate the women in your life as often as you can. You can do this by combining your patience and your mystery to give her something she can think about when you're not around. I did this once with a woman by leaving her sticky notes around her house with clues to a scavenger hunt. I sent her an email with the first clue, which pointed her to the first note in her house. The second note was hidden on an Elton John CD, and I pointed her there with a clue about being a rocket girl instead of rocket man. Then I pointed her to a book on India that she had there with a hint about going to a faraway land. And then finally I pointed her to upstairs closet and where I told her she might find something to melt in her mouth until she saw me again, and it was a bag of chocolates. I got so much mileage out of that little stunt that the bonus sex was still coming in months later. I also timed this with a period where she wouldn't be able to see me for a while due to our conflicting travel schedules, so all she could do was think about the next time we would get together. All she could do was marinate. The three domains of interaction. When you interact with a woman, there are three areas where things are happening. There's what's going on in your head, what's going on in her head, and there's what's happening in between the two of you in conversation and interaction. They have to learn how to juggle all three of these domains to effectively attract women. You have to be able to watch what's going on in your own thinking and not let things get too distracting. You don't want to be too self-aware. You have to monitor your internal feelings and dialogue. You may feel occasional bouts of fear and doubt, but you have to keep them under control. Okay, then you got to watch what's going on in her head by her actions and her body language. Learn how to effectively read women so that you don't misunderstand her body language. Finally, and most importantly, you have to learn to watch how the interaction is going between the two of you. Pay attention to the responses that you get and the general flow between you. When she mentioned how the waiter was hitting on her, did you get mad or did you not seem to care? And what effect did that have on you? What about her? Keep a firm grip on the vibe of the conversation and how things are going so you know when to take the next step. Most people are way too wrapped up in their own inner world. They can't see things outside of it. You have to be able to turn your focus outward and increase your situational awareness of what's going on outside instead of inside. Buying temperature. A woman's buying temperature is her interest level in what you have to offer her. You have to watch this temperature as if you were closely monitoring a prime cut of steak that you threw on the grill. If you try to pull it off the coals too fast, you'll end up with an underdone piece of beef that won't be ready to eat. Wait too long, and you'll burn it. Somewhere in between those two extremes is your opportunity window, and when it presents itself, when her temperature is just right, you must act. You raise her buying a temperature through the use of the strategies in this program, and then you monitor it by watching her responses, both verbally and through body language. When you think you've cooked her to perfection, you must be willing to take her off the grill and back to a place where you can act. That's your plate, your home plate. As long as you've done your homework, your seduction is reasonably assured. And again, please forgive my overdone cooking analogy. Keep your attention on these three domains of interaction, and especially on the vibe that's going on between the two of you. This is going to help you determine her buying temperature all throughout the interactions. Peacocking. A lot of guys aren't aware of the immense power of this strategy to pull women into you instead of having to chase them around everywhere, and they're also misusing it when they do use it. You may be familiar with the method that male peacocks use to attract a mate. They have these bright feathers that they fan out and display while they're strutting around, and this inevitably draws the interest of would-be mates. Well, people do this too. Here's how you use it. You need to come up with an outfit that will make you stand out from the rest of the guys out there. And you don't want to go overboard on this, but it has to be slightly unique. It can be as simple as wearing one extra item, like a cowboy hat, or finding just the right glasses with maybe a slightly different tint to them. It could be a flashy shirt with sequins. It could be a wild pair of combat boots, or it might be a shiny earring. You should find a very hip chick that can help you in this particular area, and she can give you feedback on what peacock item would work with your looks. The wrong combination will make you look a little bizarre and laughable instead of attractive, so take some time to think about this and get some feedback. One of the keys to peacocking is that you don't want to overdo it. Okay, the whole top hat and goggles thing? Overdone. There's a point where too many showy accessories make you look like a clown, and you have to draw the line at a safe distance. I recommend only one item be used for your peacocking, unless there's a specific combination that happens to work for you. The item you choose should also be something that a woman would want to compliment or take note of in some way. The more obvious, the better. I have several items that I use for peacocking, and they depend on the different environments I'm in. The first one is a motorcycle jacket that looks nice and rough, totally unlike my appearance. Every woman that I've worn it with says they think it's a cool fashion statement. I also use a cowboy hat on occasion, especially when I go up to Lake Tahoe for snowboarding. One of my more extreme examples is this t-shirt that I got that says, "Your fish smells like pussy." I got that one from a local San Francisco sushi bar. You'll find that women take note of these items, and if they're at all interested in you, it gives them the excuse they need to come talk to you first. Otherwise, they'll be waiting for you to come over to them, and I think you agree with me that you'd rather have them come to you. Alpha tactic. Get yourself at least a couple of things to wear that will give you the ability to peacock. Don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. In fact, it's absolutely necessary to stand out. Women need a reason to come talk to you, and this is the easiest way to do that and give them that reason. Alpha exercise. First, get the peacocking item. Next, plan what you're going to say to women when they do take note of it, in either a positive or negative context. You see, not all women will be nice. The hot women will consider your looks to be a threat to them, believe it or not, and they'll often try to insult you a little bit to test you. "Nice hat, cowboy," they might say, and you need to have a response ready for that challenge. "Hey, you should try riding the bull wearing it, baby." Or, "You're just hoping I'm going to lasso you up, you wild Mustang." They'll probably take the bait and give you a hard time, but now you can turn this and use this verbal sparring to keep the edge in the conversation. That's how attraction's created. For the positive responses you get from women, you need to answer in a way that pulls them to you for more discussion. "Hey, I like your hat." You reply, "Thanks. Do you know who used to wear one of these?" She stops, and now she has to keep in the conversation. "No, who?" You give her a look of shock. "You don't know? Oh my God, come over here and let me tell you about the story of wild Melvin Leibowitz and his crazy ostrich ranch." And then reach over to her and grab her hand and pull her close. Your work is to make up a funny story about Melvin and then point to something on your hat that links it to the story. Get her laughing and then get her to wear the hat. Add more charm, marinade, and seduce to taste. Lipstick tactic. This is a tactic that will serve you if used in the right way. First, you need to find a woman that will help you with this. If you go to clubs frequently, then get one of the ladies to kiss you on the neck or on your collar with a strong shade of lipstick. Now, obviously, this requires a white shirt. If you walk into a club with a red-hot kiss mark on your face, you're going to be pre-approved, and women are going to be intrigued by you. They'll think you must have something that they should want. This isn't following with a social proof theory that dictates that when a man is obviously desired by a woman, other women will be attracted as a result. When you're asked about the lipstick mark, just shrug it off with a bashful smirk and say, "Oh, that's just one of my groupies. I gotta watch out for these women." How to make compliments work. Any man that's made it this far in his training with my previous programs and ebooks and all the other stuff I got knows that compliments are the kiss of death to any man of alpha status. The more attractive the woman, the less positive effect a compliment has. To review, compliments, number one, demonstrate a needy man. What kind of a man would give a compliment to a woman he doesn't even know? A man who wants something, of course, and she knows it. Compliments are obvious, and that works against you. Number two, they show a lack of originality. Anybody can tell a beautiful woman she's beautiful, but how many men can see the parts of her inner personality that she's desperate to have recognized? Number three, compliments are actually insulting when it's obvious that you're just saying something to get something from her. An improperly delivered compliment will actually push her away. So how do you use them to your benefit? Here's how a compliment can work for you. One, make them insightful. A compliment should show how perceptive you are and that you see what other men haven't seen in her before. You should wait to compliment until you can find something that's worth complimenting. Never compliment the obvious. Well, this one should go without saying, but if she has striking blue eyes, chances are every guy on the planet has used that one on her. Look for something unique and original. Don't compliment on appearances at all unless it's directly related to something that she's wearing. By complimenting her clothes, jewelry, or other part of her appearance that she's actually had to work to achieve, well, you're going to do a lot better. Plus, it's something that she actually chose. Compliment a woman on her appearances only if she's probably not used to it. In other words, maybe she's a bit plain and you can still be original with a compliment. If she's a bit overweight, you can just say that you like the way she carries herself. She has a feminine confidence. Don't be an idiot and tell a heavy girl that she's actually skinny. She's going to know that that's not true. You'll just look like a kiss-ass buffoon for trying to deny the obvious. Just look for what may not appear obvious, or take something that may be construed as a negative and turn it into a positive. Here's a compliment you can use on any woman, and it has good effect every time, if you make it sincere. Hey, you know, I just had to tell you, I think you have this really great energy about you. It's kind of like a glow around you. And while you're saying this, you're nodding as though you're more sure about it now as you're starting to tell her it. This is a compliment that every woman is happy to hear. And generally speaking, unless she's a complete bitch, she probably does have a certain energy about her. Women especially like it phrased in that semi-mystical way that makes it sound like her aura is glowing. There is another place you should be sure to give her a compliment. In bed with her. But just a couple of times, and make them sound good. A well-placed, "You're so sexy," while in the throes of passion, will keep her happy and secure. Hey, you're already at the winner's circle, so it can't hurt to pay a few honest compliments, can it? The simplest, surefire opener ever. I'm going to give you the exact words to a foolproof opener that you can use in just about any situation. Memorize this and repeat it until you can say it 10 times fast. "Hi, I'm just meeting new people today. I thought you might be interesting to talk to. What's your name?" Now, before you get all angry and start writing me a nasty email because I didn't give you 6 magic words that'll make her want to take off all her clothes and dry hump you right there, I want you to consider this. The single most common problem that men have in meeting women is knowing what to say to start the conversation, to get things started, to start talking to a woman. I just took away that problem for you, 100%. Yes, it's unbelievably simple, as the best things in life often are. Save the cleverness for when you really need it. You don't need a clever pickup line. But you know what? This introduction works wonders. It almost never fails. It works in bars, in church, in stores, in parks, dance club, parties, you name it. And the only time that it would fail you is if you either use it on a real hardcore bitch, which, well, that's your fault if you knew it going in, a super shy girl, or you use it at the most inconvenient and thoughtless time. It really is that good and that easy to use. What sane woman would resist? Even if she wasn't immediately attracted to you, and very few women are immediately attracted to any man, even the good-looking ones, she'd still at least be open to saying hello and talking with you for a minute. The truth of the matter is that even though I've given you this phrase, and I've given this to men left and right, all over the world, in seminars everywhere, the thing that separates the alpha men from the beta guys is this one thing. The lower status men always seem to come up with an excuse as to why it won't work, so that they can avoid the possibility of rejection and possible pain. They keep looking for those magic words, the magic bullet that will work every time for them and remove all risk. But oddly enough, they keep finding problems with every single introduction that they come across. "Something as simple as this couldn't possibly work," they'll say, "because it's just too simple. It doesn't hypnotize them or put them in a suggestible sexual state. It doesn't make her tit fall out of her dress. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do that." There's always a reason. I hope you see what I'm driving at here. The problem is never in the introduction that you use with a woman. It's only the attitude of the deliverer. Anything will work as an opener if you use it in the right way. And this one will work every single time as long as you don't get in your own way. Alpha exercise. Memorize that opener I gave you and make sure you know it cold, word for word. Get to the point where there are no hesitations or pauses. If you stop in the middle for any reason, you're going to communicate nervousness instead of alpha manhood. Then when you've got it down, memorize a few questions to keep the conversation going from there. "What's your name?" If it's a fairly common name, you say, "Oh, that's really pretty. It seems to suit you. Did your mother pick that name?" If it's a unique name, you say, "Wow, that's interesting. What's the story behind that?" And then you got yourself a conversation, big guy. Opening sets. One of the keys to meeting women in groups is building your skill in opening what are known as sets. Sets are groups of 2 or more women, and they may be a mixture of women and men, too. So you have to know how to handle these situations when they arise and feel confident to jump into them. A lot of guys find going up and meeting a group of people downright impossible, but I'm going to give you some of the most effective methods for opening sets and give you some specific examples that you can memorize. Now, the first one is it's derived basically from some previous routines you may have heard before, but it works, especially if you have this as a real story. Again, I encourage real stories and real questions that come from real curiosity. Set opener number one is the cheater. This one is a favorite of mine because it's almost guaranteed to get a group of women into a heated debate, if not a lot of wild discussion. Here's the approach. Ladies, I hate to interrupt your drink here, but I have a question, and I got to get a female point of view on this. Do you have a second? Okay, here's the problem. One of my friends went over to Europe to go to school, and he's been seeing this girl here in the States for about a year. Well, while he was over there, he slept with another girl. When he got back, though, he felt totally guilty about this, and he told her what he did, hoping that she would understand his regret and to be honest with her. Well, she dumped him, and now she won't return his calls. Do you think he did the right thing? Okay, and then you ask, why? Now, make sure you get every woman to tell her opinion about this, especially the quiet ones in the group. This way, one woman doesn't speak for the rest, and that's what usually happens because there's always a queen bee in every group, but you can also wring every bit of drama out of the situation by even stirring up some interesting drama within their group. You can even reverse the roles, making it the girl who cheated on the guy. And be prepared. The women will almost always assume the friend you're talking about is either you or one of the people that you're with that night, so you have to be ready to tell them it's not and then be convincing. Set opener number two is the snoop. I like this one because it plays up the drama of something that we all love to do. It's a standard opener. Ladies, I hate to interrupt your drink, lunch, dinner, whatever, but I have a question and I need a female point of view. Do you have a second? Okay, you use that to basically throw yourself into the conversation. Don't wait for an answer to that question, by the way. When you say, do you have a second, you just keep going. I have a friend who met this really cute gal here last week. They went home together, and the next morning when she went out to pick up some stuff for breakfast, he went around the house snooping. He was just curious about what kind of girl she was, and, well, she came back, and she caught him, and she got really pissed and kicked him out, saying that she never wanted to see him again. Do you think that was overreacting? And there's little add-ons you can put on this, too. What if it had been her snooping at his place? Would that have made it okay? Have you ever done that? When? Did you ever find anything good? So think of good questions to add on to keep it going. It makes it seem more real, and it makes the conversation more fun. Set opener number three is the old rock star. Use this one on younger women or adjust your example for the approximate age of the women. Standard opener. My sister, or your friend's sister, really likes Ted Nugent. She thinks he's really sexy. Now, do you think he's hot? I mean, I think he's an old guy. What is it that makes him sexy? If they don't know who Ted Nugent is, you can have other standbys like David Bowie, Ozzy Osbourne, Mick Jagger, some of the older rockers out there. This one gets a lot of juicy detail on what women, or these women specifically, find sexy and interesting in a man. Add-ons. What if he wasn't a rock star? Would you still want to do him? If they say he's sexy but act like they wouldn't have sex with him, call them on their lie. Oh, you are so full of shit. You would so do him. Stop trying to be all proper. Do you find older men sexier than younger men? Why? All these little add-ons you can use to keep the conversation going. Set opener number four, men versus women. Use this one on a mixed group of women with guys. Standard opener. My friend thinks that men make better musicians than women because guys grew up wanting to be rock stars to get women, and women just want to get rock stars. Do you think that's true? Here are some add-ons. Do you think men are better at playing musical instruments? Here's one to aim at the guys. Did you ever start learning the guitar or join a band just to get laid? Set opener number five is trivia. Use this one when you're in a more formal atmosphere or when the other approaches might be a little inappropriate. Here's the opener. Hey ladies, we're wondering, do you know the name of that 80s band that played Don't You Want Me? Again, choose the trivia question to fit the group. Again, if they're younger, ask something more current that they might know. But make sure the question relates to something just slightly older than they are. Don't dig into the 60s and 70s if these kids are only 20 years old. If they can't come up with an answer, be sure to tease them. What? You don't know? How old are you girls anyways? What are you, 17? Well, you're probably still in high school, right? Remind me never to play Trivial Pursuit with you. Whether they get it right or wrong, you go back to your table and resume talking. Give it a minute or two, then come back over with your drinks. Okay, since you're so good with that last question, we got another challenge for you. Answer these. And then you take it from there. Set opener number six, Elvis. You can use this one just about anywhere. It's pretty fun. If you want to add some trivia to the question, after you're done with the question, you can tell him it came from a scene that was removed from the movie Pulp Fiction. Standard opener. Hey, ladies, my friend here says that you can only be an Elvis fan or a Beatles fan, but not both. If you had to choose, which one would you be? Why? Here's some add-ons. Which is your favorite song by Elvis? Or which is your favorite song by the Beatles? Why? Which one made the worst movies? Isolating your target from the set. After you've opened a set, you've got to be able to get the one you're interested in away from the group. This is essential because without her being totally focused on you, you're going to be cock-blocked all night long by her friends, especially the jealous, fugly ones. Hint, to block the possible cock-blocking effect of jealous friends, make sure you make friends with all the women in the group before you zero in on your target. You don't want to start off on the wrong side of the fence immediately, and this will greatly reduce your problems later on. Lighter fluid. When and if the conversation starts to cool off, you may want to transition into more of the regular pickup chit-chat stuff. But if it's a tough set of people here, you may have to add a little lighter fluid. You ever squirt a little fuel on a fire that was already burning to kick it back in gear? Well, that's what this technique will do. Have a few questions that will keep things going and get the energy going again. I usually use a gender switch on the question. I'll ask him something like, yeah, but what if the roles were reversed? What if he cheated on her? And then keep prodding them. Get into that little drama territory of men versus women. Just ask them to reverse the genders to keep the fun going. You'll learn a lot about the people in the group, and you'll see how they think if you're listening to their responses, and what difference they think there is between men and women for each of those questions. Remember, we're also trying to gain intel and insight from the things we ask. Alpha tactic. Always prepare for the situation of opening sets. You should start with a wingman so that you don't feel so strange or weird in these particular situations. You're not alone. And he can just sit back and watch you, or you can both take them on. But one person should definitely be the lead on this. You can even tag team if you like, where one guy just introduces the set and the other takes over with a question. Alpha exercise. Preparation is the name of the game with this one. You gotta have a few really good questions memorized to help you feel comfortable in these situations. Based on the examples that I gave you above, I want you to sit down with a pen and another piece of paper and pull together your own original introduction questions. You can use the ones that I gave you above, but based on the examples I gave you above, I want you to sit down with a pen and another piece of paper and pull together your own original introduction questions. You can use the ones I gave you before there, but eventually you're going to run into women that may have heard stuff like this before, so you have to have some that are your own and they're in your own words. And again, they have to have a power source behind them, and that power source is your genuine curiosity. You got to care about the question. And then map out the lighter fluid questions that will keep the conversation going and steer it in the right direction. Play around with the situation by reversing the gender or asking them if they've ever gone through that situation. Get them talking about their own experiences to really get them involved. You want investment in the conversation. Have fun with this one because you can come up with some pretty cool material. And if you need to, you can use the entertainment news if you need a source of material. Again, my How to Talk to Women program is excellent for this, and you can go there and see that at talktowomen.carloszuma.com, talktowomen.carloszuma.com. A caveat for good-looking guys. Good-looking guys need to adjust their strategy just a little bit for getting women. Attractive guys already have a good head start by being somewhat visually appealing to women, as we know. But just because you've got good looks does not mean your game is guaranteed, and that's important to understand. Most guys have been taught that a shy, slightly bashful presentation works with women, and even more so if you're handsome. Now, this is an incorrect assumption. What works about the shy guy routine is not his shyness and false submissive behavior. It's humility that works for guys with looks. You see, you have to act totally unaware of your own appearance, as well as turn down the cocky behavior a few notches. While cocky and funny behavior will work for most guys, the attractive guys out there need to work on increasing their funny side. The reason is that the cocky part of the equation presents a challenge to the woman as well as to demonstrate alpha confidence. And if you're already good looking and you tease a little too hard with a woman or become, use your cockiness a little too much, it comes across as arrogant and self-important, and it will turn her off. Also, remember the teasing in these situations is good because it takes the focus off of you and your behavior and puts it on hers and challenging the woman. It's not the same as being cocky, so you can get away with it just a little bit more. Just make sure you're using as much humor as possible. The funnier a good-looking guy is, the better. So be aware that your looks will get you in the front row, but you shouldn't act like they're a backstage pass. Alpha man reframing. I'm going to share with you an advanced psychological technique that has been taught in just about every imaginable way, from NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, to the most basic forms of therapy, and it's called reframing. Reframing is the skill of reinterpreting events and situations so that the meaning of what happened works for you instead of against you. Here's an example. You go out one night and you meet 10 women, but you only get one phone number. The beta guy interpretation of this is to frame it like this, as failure. You had a 10% batting ratio. That's 100 in baseball. You feel all 9 women who said no like punches to your stomach. And you also figure that this means that the one phone number you did get will be a total failure too. There's no sense in calling her. Now here's the alpha man reframe. It's success. Not only did you do what you planned, which was to get out of the house and meet new people, but you got a phone number of a woman that you can call back. If you didn't go out, you'd have none. Zero. Oh, sure, you'd be safe, but you'd have nothing. Of the other 9 that you didn't get the phone numbers from, 4 of them had boyfriends, 2 were just there with their friends, and 3 were just scared to give out their phone number. Also, you probably made all 10 women happier just by interacting with you. They got to meet a charming, intelligent guy who left them with a nice feeling. Plus, you got great practice. By the end of the night, you saw that rejection actually loses its sting really fast, especially because none of the women who said no really said no to you. They were saying no to themselves. Now, a lot of the pessimists out there would like to focus on the fact that what we're doing is just semantics here, right? We're playing with a meaning. Some people would even say that it's just cynics, right? They'd say that looking at things like this isn't realistic and it leads to false hope. In reality, however, this negative beta guy interpretation is no more realistic than the alpha man reframe that we did. Here's another reframe. You're turned down by a woman for a phone number, date, sex, whatever. You can decide one of 2 things about what it means. It either means A, you're undesirable and her rejection reflects on you as being an unattractive man, or B, she's the one who lost out by not being smart enough to recognize a good catch. This one interpretation tells you right away if you're coming from a place of security and confidence in yourself or a doubting and insecure place. The interpretation is your perception, and the pessimistic view or cynical view, which is A, is no more valid than your reframe, which was B. Let's be perfectly honest. Women almost never reject men in a mean and condescending way. If they turn you down, they try to do it as nicely as possible for the most part. And as for the bitch that does trash you or insult you, she's the kind of woman that I wouldn't piss on if her heart was on fire. A person who finds it necessary to trash another person's feelings to make herself or himself feel superior or to give them a sense of power are the most pitiful people I can imagine. These people have such a damaged sense of self-esteem that their judgment is absolutely worthless in the grand scheme of things, and you should learn to recognize it for what it is, a reason to pity their sad little lives. Their personality disorder should not translate into a bad feeling about yourself, should it? How to tell when a woman is lying to you. One of the things guys don't really understand is how easily women find it to lie to men. They would much rather tell you a lie or a severely stretched truth than risk hurting your feelings. In fact, she sees the ends justifying the means, so she doesn't even think of this as really being lying. The reason women don't want to hurt your feelings is twofold. Number one, they really do feel bad when they hurt another guy's feelings. And number two, she doesn't want you to think of her as being bad or mean or a bitch for rejecting you or hurting you. The second one is very important because it highlights the self-preservation mechanism in women that keeps them socially acceptable. Men are much less concerned with falling in and out of social circles, mostly because they don't rely on their friends as much for self-validation. For women, however, the loss of their social acceptance is a very frightening prospect. So an essential skill for you to learn is to know when a woman is lying to you. The first part of this is to pay attention for clues that give away that she's not being truthful. One of them is when she refuses to go into detail about a situation, or she seems eager to hide the specifics. For example, you. How was your night out with the ladies? Her. Oh, it was good. We just had fun. We had a couple of drinks and called in a night. How was yours? She doesn't want to give you details because they could trip up her story, and she feels guilty by going deeper into the lie. Remember the golden rule of lying. Always stay as close to the truth as possible. Most people screw this up by not being convincing about their lie. Real life has details, but lies are always unbelievably simple and vague. It takes a real pro to give a ton of detail to a made-up lie. Notice also that she was quick to turn the question back around to you to find out how your night was. This is a common evasion tactic. This next technique you're about to learn is worth its price in gold. If you suspect that a woman is telling you a lie, you have to be willing to test her. What you do is make up a red herring situation that she'll have to accept or refuse, and what you watch for is the way she handles it. Here's an example. Tom suspects Gina was out seeing another guy instead of hanging out with her friends. His gut intuition just won't let it go, so he decides to test her. Tom, how was your night out with the ladies? Her, it was fun. We went out to Como's on the other side of town. We just talked and had some drinks for a few hours. What did you do? Tom, Como's. Oh, wow. I heard what happened over there. It was on the news. Did you see the fire? Tom now watches her like a hawk to see how she responds. If she's telling the truth, there will be no pause here. Gina, the fire must have happened after we left. Note that she didn't act surprised in the right way. She was first surprised that this happened because it complicates her lie, not that she missed out on the drama of the fire. If she'd been telling the truth, her reaction would have been more like, a fire? No way. Wow, we must have just missed that. What happened? Another possible response from her is, oh my God, yeah, it was freaky. We just left right away after that. And that's a dead giveaway that she's lying because there was no fire. First of all, no woman would walk away from the drama of a fire unless she was the one on fire. Second, if she goes for your lie, you know for sure that she's lying. Don't even try to talk to her or point out the lie. Just get up and leave. Watch for a pause where she tries to figure out how to respond. That's what gives a lie away. She has to pause to decide whether to accept or refuse what you said and then decide how to respond to it. Also, watch her eyes. If she's lying, typically her eyes will look away into the side as she tries to figure out what to say. If she's telling the truth, her gaze will stay locked on yours because she already knows what really happened, and she'll challenge your story. She'd say, a fire? No, that couldn't be. I left around 10:30, and there were no fire trucks anywhere around there. Are you sure it was at Como's? When all else fails, you can bluff her into telling you the truth. If you have a solid gut feel that she's telling you a lie and you're 75% or more certain, you can just put it out there in a non-accusing way. Gina, you weren't at Como's last night, were you? Be sure not to say this in an angry or accusatory voice. In fact, lower the volume of your voice to make yourself as gentle as possible. She will do one of two things. One, try to save face and maintain the lie. Or two, give in and tell you the truth. The act that she puts on next will be the one you have to watch very carefully. It will either mean an Oscar for Best Actress caught in a lie, or you accepting that she was telling the truth. It's your call. Just make sure you don't use this tactic unless you have a pretty good reason to doubt her. Jealousy makes fools of us all at one time or another. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't let insecurity rule your life. And for heaven's sake, don't ever resort to following her unless you've got a really solid belief that she's playing you for a fool. You're better off just dumping her if you can't trust her. To summarize, if you want to sniff out a lie, 1. Present her with a made-up complication to her story. 2. Watch her response for hesitation or conflicts. Also, watch her eyes. Jealousy. Alpha men never act jealous. When you act from jealousy, it's like you've just let it slip that you're not the person she thinks you are. You've dropped your spy disguise, and you told her that you're really a used car salesman from Boise, Idaho. Go ahead. Imagine the disappointed look on her face, because that's what she feels inside when a man gets jealous and insecure. She's disappointed that you weren't really the alpha man you pretended to be. Jealousy is insecurity, plain and simple. It's when you fear that your value is diminished because someone has something that you want, or another person might take something you have away from you. Jealousy also comes from a place of scarcity. A jealous person tends to believe that there is only a limited quantity of anything in the world, and if he doesn't get this one, he may never get it at all. There are so many things in life that are an infinite supply. Success in life is not a pie where there are only a certain number of slices, and once it's gone for good. There is as much success out there as everybody can take. An alpha man understands there are so many women in the world that you don't have the time to meet them all. Never worry about the one that got away. There is an infinite supply of success in the world. It's your job to go out there and work to claim your own. If you spend all your time trying to defend rather than proactively attack, you'll never get anywhere. Scarcity thinking leads you to a defensive posture. You cannot be motivated positively by the fear of loss. An alpha is motivated more by the promise of gain. Don't forget that a woman will often test your security by seeing how you react to situations that would make a man jealous. Now imagine this phone conversation. Her: Hi Tom, it's Janet. Him: Hi, thanks for calling back. I was just thinking about you. He's happy and upbeat. Her: I would have called you last night, but I was out at dinner. Hey, thanks for the email joke that you gave me about that horse. It was funny. Note that Janet doesn't reveal the gender of the person she went out with to dinner. Him: Dinner? Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you liked the joke. Disappointment and fear starting to creep into his voice. Who was she out with? Did she sleep with him? Her: Yeah, I sent that joke to my friend in Tampa, and she got a big kick out of it, too. Him: So, who'd you go out to dinner with? Her: Just a friend from out of town. Still not disclosing if it was a man or a woman. Now she's starting to get a bit suspicious and cold. Him: Oh. Her: What's wrong, Tom? Him. So was it another guy? Contestant number one is out of the race. You don't even need to hear the rest of the conversation to know how it goes from here. A jealous reaction is always a failing grade. The best way to handle these little tests? Ignore them. Don't even start down the road of wondering who she's with or what she's doing without you. If the guy in the previous example had just kept up his happy attitude and ignored the first mention of the dinner, he would have passed. If she brought it up again, which is what she'll do if she's trying to get a reaction out of you or test you, you would not only ignore her, you'd feed her curiosity by saying something like, "Wow, sounds like you had a great time at dinner. So let's talk about you having an even better time with me this weekend." Only when you make them a competition do they become competition for you. If there is another guy, it's not your concern. If you're focused on someone else taking away what you have, you're looking at the situation from the wrong angle. You need to consistently be the alpha man she needs you to be, and that means you are never threatened by outside challenges. When you're jealous and threatened, you act from defense, and you'll screw up the play. Imagine what would happen in football games if the quarterback got the ball and he felt threatened and he yelled out for everybody to defend him instead of try to push forward. The play would end quickly with a loss of yardage. Deep inside, women know that a man who isn't threatened or jealous has something, something she wants to experience. Fun equals sex in a woman's mind. There's an interesting parallel that you need to be aware of now that you're becoming more of an alpha man. It's an interesting phenomenon that most guys aren't aware of, and if they were, they'd change their approach radically. In a healthy, in other words, sane woman's mind, if she's having a lot of fun, laughing, enjoying herself, feeling good, she will want sex. The two states of mind are almost the same thing to her. One will lead very naturally to the other. Think about most of the dates the woman goes out on. Here's the template for most guys' interaction with women. Walk up and introduce themselves, ask her out, or ask for her phone number. Now, that's about 90% of the reason that these guys don't get more dates, because this is where they first start with their unoriginality. I call this the beat the head against the wall approach, because a guy relies on brute force to get success from this method. The numbers he has to run are ridiculous to get success. And then if by some miraculous twist of fate she does agree to go on a date with him, you go to dinner, then he ends up talking about his jobs, family, television, where they grew up, all the most boring shit you could possibly ever imagine, worse than a job application or interview. Go to a movie, maybe a club, take her home, try to kiss her, hoping that she liked you for who you are enough to return that kiss, or maybe get lucky and she'll invite you inside. I'm here to tell you that every woman on the planet is bored to death of this pattern, since 90% of all guys have used this blueprint for a date with her since she first got her little boobies. This is incredibly dull, and that's why she's looking for the missing ingredient and will do anything to get it. It's called fun. Do you remember that song by Cyndi Lauper, "Girls Just Want to Have Fun"? When that song came out in the 1980s, it was the anthem for 10 million teenage girls, and as those girls grew into women, they still got hyper and wet to dance to it on the 80s retro nights at dance clubs. Then when they got married and settled down, these same women hear that song and sing to it with a longing, faraway look on their faces as they push their baby strollers down the aisles of Target, looking for bargains on dish soap and remembering their crazy days when all they had was fun. Now that song was so obvious the guys overlooked the truth, the simple truth in the lyrics. Girls and women just want to have fun, and any man that can give them fun is going to go as far as he wants. This is why it's essential to make sure that any meeting you have with a woman is upbeat and light. And what I mean by light is no pressure, no expectations, and no weird vibes. In order for a woman to want to get together with you over and over again, she's got to have a reason. And by giving her fun and lighthearted experiences each time, she will want to repeat that experience. It's kind of like conditioning. Laughing is a requirement for women to be seduced. You can't go in with a super serious attitude and expect to bang women. You got to tickle their funny bone. I'll cover a little alpha man humor later on, but for now, you just need to be aware that you should include as much laughter in your meetings as you possibly can. If you have to take her to stand-up comedy acts to get it out of her, then by all means, do it that way. But get her to have fun and laugh. It's sad, but so few guys really know how to be fun. You have to shed that "I want to get in bed with you" agenda just long enough to show her a genuinely fun time first. After the fun comes the missing factor, the one that most guys ignore once they've established a little attraction interest on the part of the woman. The part that's missing is called sexual chemistry. Sexual chemistry is largely a mystery to most people. What makes one person interesting to someone while another person thinks they're totally average? What makes one guy totally hot to one woman while the other thinks he's a yawn? I'm going to reveal to you the two critical parts of this mystery so that you can start to use it for your own benefit. The first part of sexual chemistry is a woman's taste in men. She might have a certain look that she gets hot for, like long hair and muscles. Another might want a clean-cut, blonde hair, blue-eyed guy. Every woman has a type that is a shortcut to her attraction mechanism, and you can't control this at all. So don't go trying to find the look that all women want. It just doesn't exist. You should get your look set for you to the best of your ability. Maximize yourself. If you have a weak jawline, you should consider a beard. If you have a big nose, maybe glasses would help to offset and disguise this. Just get yourself looking the best you can for your own features. Now, a woman's taste was set early in life. For many women, the man they're attracted to their whole life is the spitting image of, ta-da, their dad. Whether or not the relationship between them was any good, the early male role models are the ones that really ingrain themselves in a woman's subconscious mind. For some women, they develop a taste for the men they associated certain qualities with during puberty or their early sexual experiences. The men that got their blood hot as girls, whether that was Captain Kirk or some boy toy band, they associated their early sexual desire to these men, and it stuck. The bad news, as I told you already, is that you can't do anything about this. If you happen to encounter a woman and you're her type right away, consider that an easy kill. They do come along from time to time. I've had plenty of them. But most of the time, you probably won't be her exact type. The good news is that even if you can't control her taste, you can still sneak around it and seduce her anyways. Now, how does this work? Well, through the miracle of modern sexual tension. Sexual tension is a form of push-pull or tug-of-war with a woman's sexual interest in you. And it started when you use the tactics of teasing, negative hits, you know, giving her a hard time, adding mystery, and so on. The tactics you learned here and in my other programs. Push-pull is the overall strategy of varying your approach so that a woman can feel the frustration level required to want to jump in bed with you. This is also known as the one-step-forward, two-steps-back strategy. By varying a little pursuit with a little bit of pulling away, you give a woman the space she needs to feel free to be attracted to you. Remember that no woman will ever be attracted to a man just because she feels she must be attracted to him or ought to be attracted to him or she's obligated to be. She feels it because she can't help it and she doesn't want to resist. Here's an example. You're out having drinks with Maria. You're talking about bad hairstyles and making fun of Donald Trump, laughing and having a good time. Out of nowhere, Tony Lasagna comes up and starts a conversation with you two, and he's obviously hitting on Maria. Yeah, I know what you mean, Tony says. There's so many guys out there that don't know how to really comb their hair over their bald spot. It's pitiful. Yeah, Maria chimes in, or when they wear those Elvis sideburns that went out in the 70s. All three of you joke around for a bit about this, and it's obvious that Tony's looking to make some progress with Maria, and she's even flirting back with him a little. Now, most guys would get defensive in this position, and their jealousy would kick into high gear, and they puff up their chests, and they start to get a little challenging. But you're an alpha man, and you know what to do. You whisper in Maria's ear, "Hey, you two make a cute couple. You should get a number." You say this with as much seriousness as possible, and not a hint of jealousy or anger. If anything, you're a bit bemused. After a few more minutes of conversation, you tell Maria and Tony, "Hey, I have to go make a quick phone call and a pit stop at the bathroom. I'll be right back. You kids have fun." You wink and nudge Maria towards Tony with your elbow before you walk away. You take a few minutes to chat with one of the bar waitresses, cutting it short so it doesn't look like you're just retaliating on Maria and Tony's flirting. And then you go make a quick phone call and try and connect with a woman that you got a number from last week. You set a time to meet her next week, and then you get right off the phone. You go to the men's room, spend a few minutes taking a leak, straighten your hair, and thinking about that trip you've got coming up to Jamaica. You have to remember to pick up some travel stuff on Tuesday, and oh yeah, you almost forgot about Maria. Ugh. You finish up your business in the restroom, and you come back to the chatty duo of Maria and Tony. Tony, being the typical bore, has just launched off into a discussion of his hot new sports car and where he's going to sail his boat when spring arrives. You are wearing a very amused smile on your face as you come back, as if you knew all along that Tony would be bragging about this nonsense. And you can also read in Maria's eyes that she sees it too. After a few minutes, Maria suggests that you two get out of here and go somewhere more private and get away from Tony. And if she didn't suggest it, you would. You tell Tony, "Hey man, love to stay and chit-chat, but the lady and I have some business of our own elsewhere. Have fun on that sailing trip." Now, what you just did was the push part of the push-pull. You pushed Maria away a little bit, demonstrating your own security and non-neediness when you suggested that, hey, maybe she hooks up with Tony. If you'd made that suggestion with a slightly annoyed tone of voice, you would have risked having the complete opposite effect on her. But you knew that if you did it from a place of not really caring, it would work. And it does. And it did. When Maria got the freedom to make any choice she wanted, and that's all any woman really wants to feel with a man, she responded by seeing how Tony was just a common bragger and a player. She felt a sudden renewed attraction to you, partly because you were the one who pushed her away, and now she felt free to pull you back in. Note how also your mindset was back in that bathroom. You didn't apply this tactic of suggesting that Marie and Tony get together and then go to the bathroom to pace and chew your nails, scared that you were going to lose her. You really couldn't care less. In fact, you almost forgot about her in the midst of your own plans for your own fun, exciting, adventurous life. You even took the time to make sure you had some backups in the pipeline by setting up another date for the next week. Note, the best time to act on a contact that you've made with a woman is when you've already got a woman on the line. You'll come across with much more congruence and a relaxed attitude, giving you a much higher likelihood for success. And finally, when the time came to return to Maria and Tony, you confidently and assertively rescued Maria from the conversation, taking her away to go somewhere more private. Do you see the difference that your inner attitude and your congruence makes here? If you act from a place of fear or insecurity or jealousy, you lose. If you act from a place of security and confidence, you win. Now, let's go into one more example of push-pull with you and Maria back at her place. After you leave the bar and that great stud, Tony, Maria suggests that you go over to her place and get a drink. She has a CD that you mentioned you wanted to hear, so it makes the perfect excuse for going back to her apartment. You don't pounce on the suggestion. You hesitate, almost seeming as if you can't go along with it. You say, looking at your watch. Yeah, you know, it's not too late. I suppose I can come over for a few minutes. You don't even try to hold her gaze to give her any idea whether or not you're serious about that. You just nod, and then you drive her back to her place, taking a few minutes to tease her about how well she would have looked with Tony in his sports car or in his hot sailboat. She slaps you on the arm and says, "Stop," with a giggle. Let's be clear. As we said before, sexual tension is uncomfortable for most people. It's not a balanced, comfortable state like resting or meditating or sleeping. The whole point of the situation you're trying to create is to engineer a little discomfort for her. You're amping it up with your teasing, humor, confidence, and charm. Why do you want her uncomfortable? Well, because in order for her to relieve this state of tension that she's got, this sexual tension, she's going to want to find a way to resolve the situation. And if you set it up correctly, the tension will be just enough of her thinking, "I'm feeling so much frustration. I wonder if he wants me. I need to find out," that she will actually act on it when the time comes. You want to drive up that discomfort until she feels like she needs to resolve it. For most beta guys, this is really tough. They can't stand that weird zone of discomfort and uncertainty, especially when it appears that she might even be a little bit mad at you. She'll hit you and playfully tell you to stop, and some women will even pout and act like brats just to test you and see if you'll break your own resolve. The alpha man can live in this state of tension, slightly uncomfortable, without losing his cool. He knows that he's in control of the seduction of the woman, and he's not afraid to stir things up and let the chaos surround him. Don't resolve her discomfort. Alpha tactic. From time to time, you should throw out a controversial statement to keep women on their toes and test them. I used to proclaim myself an anarchist to one of my old girlfriends. She'd get all excited and start arguing with me. "Why? You mean you want a country where everyone does whatever they want? Murdering anybody? Stealing?" I'd just chuckle and feed the fire. "Yeah, there wouldn't be any authority or anybody trying to control you. No corrupt politicians." I wanted to make sure that she felt that I was capable of my own wildly original thinking, even if she disagreed with it, and that she knew I was independent in my opinions. It was great for inserting the necessary sexual tension and getting her all riled up. You'll be amazed at how many women you attract when you stop caring about what they think. Dancing, the power of rhythm. A lot of guys are afraid to dance with women. In my early 20s, I was totally hung up about it. It felt weird. I felt stupid. I was afraid other people were watching my unbelievable lack of body coordination and just laughing their ass off at me. The reality is that no one is paying nearly as much attention to you as you like to think. Everybody else is so busy running around afraid about how they look that they don't have the time to watch for every nuance of your behavior. No one really gives a hoot about how you look or what you look like doing the funky chicken. Sorry, hate to burst your bubble on that one. Dancing is one of the best ways to accelerate attraction with a woman. Whether it's slow dancing to a waltz, swinging to swing, or writhing to trance, dancing is a necessary activity for an alpha man. It gets you close to her, and it demonstrates your comfort with your own body. She knows at a subconscious level that men who are comfortable with their own bodies are able to take care of her body. Do you want to really get laid? Get out there and dance. Dance badly if you have to, but dance. She really doesn't care, as long as you just get out there and do it. And after a while, just like everything else in life, it'll get easier and you'll get a whole lot better. What sex means to each sex. Guys need to be aware of something very important when it comes to how men and women generally view sex. Women view sex as an indulgence and a biological desire. Men view sex as an affirmation of their male power and virility. In other words, women want sex as a way to explore themselves and their pleasure, while men need sex to prove their worth and value. Do you catch that? As for the act of sex, when you're actually doing it, women view this in much the same way as men do, as a pleasurable experience. Have fun. But what it means after the fact is what sticks out in a woman's mind. And what sticks in a man's mind is what it means before the event. Here's another way of looking at what each person is thinking. Thinking before sex. The man is thinking conquest, desire, hormonal lust. I want her. Women are thinking affirmation of their beauty and desirability, security, trust, make me feel hot and desirable. Thinking during sex, men think, pleasure me, I can't come quick enough, oh yeah. Women, pleasure him, then pleasure me. Thinking after sex, for men, sleep, pizza, football, please don't ask me what I'm thinking. For women, relationship, where is this going? How was I? How was it for you? So, what are you thinking? Remember that each gender wants sex as much as the other one, and many times women want it more than men, because of self-denial and because of what it gives them an emotional experience. It's the reasons we want sex that are so different. An alpha man knows how to fulfill a woman's desires first so that the woman will be more than willing to fulfill his after. Just remember that you're giving her an emotionally and physically fulfilling experience, not just an orgasm. She's not driving to the destination that fast. Alpha tactic, validate her desire. When you're talking with a woman, occasionally drop hints that a woman should be able to feel comfortable with her sexuality. She can feel comfortable just talking about sex. You aren't judgmental about her or women in any way. You believe women have a higher sex drive than men. This will liberate her from much of the self-conscious social programming she has regarding expressing her own sexuality. It also helps her feel accepted and open. Stay in control. One of the most important things for you to do is to understand and feel the difference between controlling and being in control. An alpha man is always in control of his life and in control of the situations around him to the best of his ability. With women, this is probably the most important trait to demonstrate, since it exemplifies a host of other sub-traits that women respond to. It clearly shows that you have self-confidence. How to know when you're in control. Read the signs. Women will give you signs and signals to let you know when you're having the right effect on them, and it's important not to misinterpret them. Most non-alpha men will misunderstand these signals or try to take them literally, and that's when they run into big trouble. For example, you've been on 3 dates with a woman, and near the end of the 4th date, she says, "You know, I really have fun with you, but it's just that I can't figure you out." Or she might say something like, "I'd just like to know more about what you're thinking," or even, "I'm not sure about you." In addition to saying this, she starts to act a little bit cold and distant, maybe a little bit aloof, and you start to panic a little bit, thinking, "Uh-oh, I'm starting to lose her. She's starting to pull away because I'm not giving her what she wants." This is, of course, male panic syndrome. When in fact she's doing this because she's actually just pouting a little bit, because she's not able to manipulate you like the other 38 puppet guys that she cut the strings off of and dumped last month. Now let's be clear about one thing here. No matter how many times a woman may ask you what you're thinking or complain about not being able to figure you out, she does not need to really hear what you think or feel about her. That's what she's wondering in her head, but that is most definitely not what she needs to know. Get it? The power in attraction is what she doesn't know. Just because she says she wants it does not mean she actually needs it. And this is one of those fundamentals of female behavior that most guys never figure out, and as a result, they get burned and bitter about women. "But I gave her what she wanted," the chump complains. "She said she wanted to know more about what I felt and thought about her, so I told her, and then she said she wanted some space." Look, most women aren't even aware of this facet of their behavior, and so they still ask us questions they don't really want to know. What a woman is really saying when she says she can't figure you out is this: "You've kept me far enough away that I'm still really interested in knowing more." In other words, you haven't smothered her. This is very good. "You're mysterious to me, and you've got my imagination engaged," which means, "I'm wondering about you when you're not around," which deepens my attraction. Just like money-earning interest in an investment that you don't even have to watch. It just compounds on its own. "I'm getting more and more addicted to your presence because you never overwhelm me." In other words, you leave her wanting more, which is excellent. But again, a man will hear these words that she says and think that she's complaining. "You don't, why don't you?" And she acts temporarily aloof, like a bratty little girl who isn't getting her way. The man panics, thinking that she's withholding approval, or even withdrawing it. This is where your true confidence will be tested. If you're an alpha man, you'll ignore her acting up. She can't help it. And resist that urge to calm her fears or reassure her. Her complaints are another positive step that only appears to be negative. Just keep doing what you're doing, observing the results you get, Results are all that matters. And be patient for those results, too. They're not always immediate. What she doesn't know helps you. We're back to mystery again. Most guys don't have the discipline or self-control to keep from unleashing their feelings on a woman. They rationalize that if they want to tell her how they feel about her, and if she asks, then that's the way to make her fall in love with them. Big mistake. An alpha man does not need. Period. By showing need to a woman, you immediately trigger her instinctual rejection mechanisms. After all, why would a man need her? Unless he had some fault or imperfection that makes him unable to get another woman, otherwise known as insecurity and survival incompetence. Women want to need you, and they want you to want them. Want means she has something valuable and unique, something worth desiring, not necessity. Because need implies emotional weakness, and that does not mean that she's unique at all. If you need her, you really just need any woman to fill an emotional hole in your life, right? Recognize that there are things a woman will say that sound negative, but are really telling you a positive message. Listen closely and learn to decipher her encoded speech under the words so that you understand the difference. How to know when to leave. You could argue that there are so many different women out there so that each man has a woman that would fit him. You could argue that there are so many different women out there that each man has a woman that would fit him precisely. However, there is one indicator that tells you whether or not the woman you're with is someone that you could stand to be with over the long term. How easily can she get real with you? In other words, how willing is she to tell you the truth, even if it means that it doesn't make women's behavior in general look good in comparison to men's? If she's got a complex where she believes women are superior to men, or she can't get real with you about a lot of the things that I've been talking to you about in this program, or she can't get real with you about her shit tests or her hard-to-get behavior, she's not a rational woman. She doesn't see reality. She covers it up. The women that I've had the best time with and found to be the best companions are the ones that fully recognize most of the female behavior that I've explained to you in this program. They even go so far as to say, as one woman did, "I don't know why men put up with our shit sometimes." Nice. After all, each sex has a lot to put up with the other, but that's the key to our growth. Knowing there are things about her that you don't like and still learning how to enjoy her for her differences anyway, that's what it's about. But you can't be happy when you're always fighting another woman's distorted view of herself or her gender. If she thinks that women are as strong as men physically, or that women don't test men, or any of the other obvious facts of female behavior, or she denies that she wants anything less than an alpha man, she's not going to work out in the long run. Why? Because she's not in touch with her own reality, and that'll make an emotional nightmare out of things when it comes time for you to really get real with her. She has to be down to earth enough to recognize reality from the feminist bullshit that the media tries to promote. The other important factor in determining if a woman is right for you is this. Is she a giver or is she a taker? A giver has a lot of emotional strength and reserves of her own. She's not in a constant state of, adore me, make me feel loved. And as a result, you find it easy to give her occasional attention and male nurturing. She doesn't have that sickening emptiness of self-esteem that constantly needs filling. She's not a drain on your energy or your happiness. She doesn't require constant emotional maintenance. She reaches out to you and gives you occasional words of encouragement. She's not needy. A taker, on the other hand, is always a burden, and you'll be able to tell very quickly if she's a taker. It'll show in small ways, the way she acts emotionally and with her friends, the way she talks to you and treats you. Does she need gifts and things bought for her all the time? Does she need constant attention to keep her happy? Is she always stirring up drama? Trust your intuition when it comes right down to figuring out which one of these women she is. Alpha humor. A lot of guys are running around with an underdeveloped sense of humor. Let me give you a little insight from where I've been sitting for many years on the analysis side of this equation. I've watched women and examined their behaviors, and I've also done the same for men, observing the way they act around women. Most guys need to lighten up. Stop taking this whole sex thing so damn seriously. The whole game of seduction is made way too important. Really. Here's an example. I've dealt with customer service situations in not only the sales of my programs, but in my past jobs way back when I was actually in a customer-facing job. I can spot an uptight, angry guy in a heartbeat by the way that he treats people he doesn't know. It's one of the fastest indicators of a guy's personality. When a guy is an impatient dick to people he doesn't know, I can tell exactly what it is that's messing up his game with women. No sense of humor, he's uptight, and he's insecure. The ability to laugh at all of this is the one thing that'll keep you from going nuts, especially in situations like when you've got a hot babe with you and you realize that you're not getting anywhere with her, because those are the ultimate tests of your alpha humor. You have to be able to find this game immensely funny. If you take it too seriously, you're going to create a bad aura around you, and it's dark and ugly, like a storm cloud waiting over your shoulder. In fact, one of the areas that restrains a man's sense of humor is his impatience, which we actually talked about before. When you've got an agenda, which is what impatience indicates, you're not going to be very funny. It's hard to be funny, in fact, when you've got any other goal than to be funny. So when a woman senses a lack of humor, she also senses an agenda, a serious agenda, and that will scare her off. Humor is an absolute alpha man necessity. Mostly it's for himself. A man has to know how to laugh at himself at least as much as he laughs at others. And laughing to yourself is also essential. The world is already piled high with stress and tension and anger and negativity. The ability to laugh is a survival instinct, and women know this. Anyone that can use their humor in a way that makes her laugh is going to raise her feelings of attraction massively. Comedy is nothing more than the art of observation and exaggeration. You see something that other people might not see, and you find a way to point it out by exaggerating it. This is a skill that it requires you to leave your own thoughts and insecurities behind and just look outside at what other people are doing that is just so obviously dumb and funny, or at least dumb enough to make fun of. Steer clear of mean-spirited humor and dirty jokes or toilet humor. Women don't find those jokes very funny. Here's an example of a joke that could cross the line if you don't tell it to a woman in the right way. A woman was flying to the convent where she was about to become a nun. The plane she was on started malfunctioning. One of the engines exploded. The pilot got on the intercom and announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, you might want to assume crash position. We're going down in the ocean. We probably won't make it." Well, this woman is terrified, and she yells out, "I'm too young. I don't want to die. Before I go, I want a man to make me feel like a real woman." Just then, a handsome man from the front of the plane walks back towards her. He unbuttons his shirt, revealing a bulging, muscular chest. The woman starts getting hot and stands up to meet him, prepared to take him. Just as the man reaches her, he hands her his shirt and says, "You want to feel like a real woman? Here, iron this." Now, if you tell that correctly, it comes across as a great way to make fun of other guys in a way that women will laugh at and appreciate. If you add one word, which is the way I originally heard this joke, to the last sentence, "Here, bitch, iron this," it becomes mean, and then it's not as suitable for telling to women. Use your head. An alpha man never makes fun of himself or his faults to get a laugh. It comes across as pitiful and desperate. Women are secretly disgusted by men who lower their status just to get a laugh. They can tell that it's the last act of desperation of a beta guy, and it's embarrassing as well as uncomfortable to listen to. There's a right way of making fun of yourself where you don't come across as being too self-deprecating, but you're better off leaving this area alone. Alpha exercise 1. One of the tools of a comedian's trade is other people's comedy. Make it a point to rent as much comedy as you can stand. Watch the classics. Any of the old comedy routines by Robin Williams and his stand-up routines, Eddie Murphy's Delirious or Raw, Chris Rock's comedy specials and his cable show, any good stand-up comedian shows such as those on Comedy Channel. Absorb as much of the stuff as you can. You'll start to understand what people laugh at and how to construct your own humor. And when necessary, steal whatever you can. You don't always have to be original. In fact, most of these guys started out by imitating other comedy acts and comedians. I know I did. Alpha exercise 2, create characters. I spend a lot of time talking to myself. I'm not crazy, I'm just a little goofy. I like to work on my comedy characters when I'm driving or just hanging around the house with my dog. I've got one that's an army drill instructor. "Sir, yes, sir." I got one that's a total idiot. "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about." A bunch of funny accents that I use. I got an old man, Cartman from South Park. I've got a perverted Jimmy Stewart. Well, I just want to see that snatch of yours. Yeah, show me your boobies. A dirty old lady, a lunatic, and I got a whole bunch of other characters. There are some brilliant actors that could do this with such unbelievable depth that you start to understand how this kind of comedy is a form of genius all its own. Take the Peter Sellers Pink Panther movies. They are a fantastic example of comedy characters. The same with Mike Myers' Wayne's World and Austin Powers movies. I still use the fat bastard character every so often, usually just the Scottish accent because only guys find his humor particularly funny. Study these movies. You're going to see a lot about how to build a character up from nothing. All it takes is one person from your childhood or another time in your life that you thought someone was just such a character of his own that he didn't even notice how ridiculous he was. Maybe it was the kid next door who talked like he had just had an enema. Maybe it was the teacher who stuffed pencils in her curly hair and lost them. That was my third grade teacher, by the way. Take any trait from them that you think is funny, exaggerate it, and presto, you've got your own character. Alpha exercise. Observation. Take the time to observe things in your world that can be turned into something funny, like those silly spork things you get at Kentucky Fried Chicken, or how everyone is crazy about the Harry Potter movies. Can't we just give Harry a pistol and let him shoot that damn Voldemort? Or how can you stop at an intersection? There's always a guy next to you picking his nose. Don't they think we can see them through the windows? Just look around you at the everyday things you see, and there's always a way to make it funny. You just have to open your eyes and watch what's going on around you. Alpha exercise. Free association exercise for observation. Now, this exercise helps you find topics of discussion while keeping your humor engine tuned up. When you're out and about, look out the window at something near you. Let's say you see the Kentucky Fried Chicken sign, and you think, what is it with their special recipe? Wouldn't it be great to make chicken like that all the time? And then you think, Colonel Sanders, he was a really old dude. He always looked old. Even when he was young, he was old. What's up with older people today, too? I mean, they wear all these cool fashions, like Izod and Polo. When I was a kid, my grandparents only wore that stretch stuff that came in funky sky blue. I don't want to dress weird when I'm old. And then you think, and fashion these days is kind of weird, too. You ever notice that no one ever wears the stuff you see in the BB and Calvin Klein ads unless you're in a club? I've never seen a woman wear a dress with her boobs hanging out like that. Or a guy, for that matter. Then you think, and what's up with those women who get the boob jobs? Do you think that we don't know, you know? I mean, they usually get them way too big, first of all, where she looks like she'd pop right back up on her feet if she fell on her face. Her nipples are up by her neck, so that can't be natural. And then you think, and speaking of implants, did you know that guys are getting butt implants now? Yeah, they're getting butt jobs. Like these guys want to look like Jennifer Lopez or something. You see how this exercise goes? It gets you from thinking from topic to topic as quickly as you can and trying to be as witty as you can along the way. You develop a sharp wit and an ability to think on your feet. This is an extension of conversational bridging, which will keep you and the talk flowing. What a woman is. I'm going to present you with a list of qualities of women so that you can understand them a little better. Some of these descriptions may sound a little harsh, but they're here only to help you understand female nature a little bit more completely. Remember that I love women in every form, and even with all the weirdness and neurotic stuff and thrown in there. But the key to your getting a woman of your own is in understanding their true nature. 1. Women are the same as men, only completely different. A lot of guys don't catch on that even though women are similar in many ways to men, and we really do have the same goals in life, the subtle differences in both psychology and physiology make us almost completely different. In other words, it's those small differences that really matter. They are the 20% that make up 80% of our problems. Just remember that as much as you may want women to be like us, they never will. They will always have different needs and goals. Women are more complicated emotionally than men. I recently got into a discussion about this with some friends, and one of which is a relationship counselor. According to her experience, she thinks men are as complicated as women. Now, I disagree with her on this point. I think the difference is that she mistook the emotional pain that a man experiences, the depth, as the same as the variety of emotional experiences that a woman has, which is the width or breadth. Men are by nature most happy when things are calm and unperturbed. When the waters are smooth, we're at our best. We like a few waves and storms to challenge us, but only once every few months or so. We also don't feel unnerved just because we've been in a calm patch for a while. Observe how a woman needs to stir things up when things have been going smoothly for a little too long. Now, the older a woman gets, the more she appreciates the calm waters. This is the sign of emotional maturity in a woman. If you date a woman in her mid-30s with an incessant need for drama, run, don't walk, to the nearest exit. By the same token, the older a man gets, the more comfortable he should be with his own emotional makeup and handling the cycles of his own moods. However, the reality is that a man's emotional life is much less turbulent than a woman's. Women need drama. Oh, I can hear the gasps in the audience on that one. This follows right in hand with the previous statement. As a result of living life more emotionally, women find a higher satisfaction when their lives are more emotionally complicated. I interviewed a woman named Kathy for my advanced audio coaching, and we discussed this one point. It was interesting that from a woman's point of view, they don't see this need as drama. It appears so normal to them that it's not even viewed as something separate. It's just life to them. They get their satisfaction from experiencing the complications of life, or what men call drama. They won't admit to wanting it, but somehow drama always seems to find them, doesn't it? Women are not as self-confident about life as men are. On the whole, women need a lot more reassurance and external validation to keep up their sense of self-esteem. There are more female empowerment programs and social consciousness than ever before, highlighting this need for women. They're not getting the support they once did from men, so now they're getting it from each other. Women also lack the level of self-esteem that most men are forced into developing. See, many men assume that beautiful women have a high level of self-esteem, but the complete opposite is true. She knows that her looks are only temporary. She gauges her value from how much she feels desired, where men gauge their value by how much they are needed and useful. Women are less self-reliant than men are. You can see this in the amount of self-help books written for women. Not only are they the single largest purchasers of books in general, but they're almost exclusively the buyers of the relationship and self-improvement books. Men are brought up to be much more self-reliant and independent, preferring to handle things on their own. Women want to nurture and give you loving, but only when it isn't demanded of them or taken for granted. You see, most women are natural at the mothering instinct. A woman wants to help you and take care of you in certain ways, but this comes later on, after she's found her feelings for you. This requires you to be alpha first, and that means that not needing her to kiss your boo-boos for you or otherwise be your mother for the first couple of months. Women want to be challenged and play the games of emotional interaction. They want to go through the entire roller coaster of emotions, ups and downs. They don't want to cut to the chase or be given anything too easily. It's up to an alpha man to give them enough challenge that she senses his value this way. You may see all those ads online and in personals from women who don't want to play games, but that's a lie. Some games are absolutely necessary for our lives. Women use their sexual attractiveness and social skills as power. Early in our lives, we grabbed onto the quickest form of power we had available to us. For men, it was physical strength. If someone didn't do what we wanted, we could force them or fight them. We physically dominated. Now consider what women learned as their first power. They learned how to understand and manipulate social situations, and they also learned how to use their looks and sexuality as power over men. Remember, you grab onto the power that is most easily accessible to you, and that's what formed a large portion of your personality as you grew up. She can't be your best friend. For a while there, and even today, women have liked to proclaim that they want a man who can make them laugh, be sensitive, and be their best friend. Sorry, dude. Alpha men know that women do not make very good best friends for men. You simply cannot expect a woman to get into all the guy stuff that you like. And there's always going to be that sexual charge there. For instance, I'm a big fan of comic books. I don't buy them like I used to, but every so often I really like to indulge in a good comic. As much as I love them, I've never met a woman who's gotten really into comics until recently. It's very, very rare. In fact, I've often found myself at a loss when trying to explain to a woman the role that comics play in a young boy's life. They just don't get it. It's not their fault. They just don't have any needs that get fulfilled by comics, nor do they grow up reading about superheroes. If they read any comics, it was Archie or Garfield in the Sunday paper. The same thing often applies to competition sports, porn, hard rock, computer games, Star Trek, fixing up cars, and a bunch of other guy things. Chicks don't usually dig these things. By its definition, a best friend is a friend, not a lover. So don't get caught up in that female myth of trying to be her best friend. A woman's best friend will always be another woman. Always. In fact, you can't even count on being her sole source of intimate sharing. Some things she will have to share with other people, and there will be things about her that you will never learn. Trying to be everything to a woman is a losing proposition, and it's also very needy and wussy. But keep in mind that any woman that you are with must also have you as her best male friend. Don't fall for that shit where the woman goes out with her old friend Jim from college every month or two. Unless you have a reason to believe that she's got a solid emotional maturity and loyalty and an undying lust for you, other men who pal around with your woman can pose a serious threat. However, as we discussed in the section on jealousy, you must know exactly how to handle these situations. Male friends of your girlfriend or lover are only a threat if you aren't an alpha man, already confident of your alpha value and your alpha power. Stay secure, but also stay aware. If she has a flawed character or possible psychological issues that force her to need attention or drama, you could be the strongest alpha around and she'll still cheat on you. This goes back to what I said about sanity, right? So be sure of her character and quality before you get emotionally involved with her. Stay frosty and alert, and recognize that male-female friendships are possible, but they have a certain structure and special boundaries. They're not the same as male-male friendships. In no situation should you make a woman your best friend just because you feel like you can talk to her or tell her things you can't tell to a guy. That's a good friend, but not what an alpha man needs for his own growth. Rapport, the critical success factor of seduction. If there's one thing you'll discover when you start to build up your sense of alpha man power, is that the one thing that gets you into bed with women, or anywhere with women, faster, is the ability to build rapport. Rapport is a way of summarizing her feelings of trust and security with you. Rapport is a way of getting her to feel, hey, you're just like me, and even more importantly, you're just like what I want. An alpha man always goes for rapport as quickly and effectively as possible. It's the only thing you should be concerned with when meeting and dating women. It comes before any makeout sessions or marathon sex. It's the sole source of comfort a woman needs to feel to trust you and to let you inside her gates. Rapport is also a critical skill for alpha men who are looking to progress in the business and professional world, really anywhere in life. Sometimes the difference in getting a job you want and being turned down is just how well the interviewer feels that connection between you. Here are some of the ways of gaining rapport with women. Mirroring. Studies have shown that if you match a person's physical stance and even their rate of breathing, they will quickly fall into a state of sympathetic rapport. This works on the subconscious level in many cases, but it does work. If she puts her hands in her lap, you can do the same. If she leans in one direction, you should lean in the same way. It's called mirroring because you act like a mirror to her. Now you have to be careful not to make it too dramatic or obvious, or you'll risk her noticing and thinking you're either mocking her or you're a nutcase. The overall effect should be very subtle. You'll know your mirroring is working when she starts to change her posture and match yours after a while. In other words, she'll start mirroring you back because of the level of rapport. Again, be careful with this one because very often mirroring is an artificial tool and it feels like it's artificial too. Disclosing. Show her the things about you that most resemble her. Again, you want her thinking and feeling that she's met somebody just like her, with the same interests and with the same emotional experiences. You tell her things about yourself that are similar. If she came from a certain part of the country and you've been there, even if just for a visit, tell her. If someone you know works where she does, let her know and see if she knows him or her. These small bits of information add up and build on that feeling of rapport. Now remember that disclosing is not confessing. You do not want to start revealing intimate details with a woman you barely know. An alpha man knows that this is A, killing the mystery, and B, will freak her out later. If it doesn't have a context, or if she doesn't feel some sort of rapport to you already, you must disclose things slowly, a bit at a time. Don't go disclosing or revealing all of your feelings, too. One of the best techniques for constructive disclosure is revealing something about yourself casually and then turning the conversation back to her. For example, if she mentions how much she loves to travel, you might say, "Yeah, I know what you mean. I remember how wonderful Florence was when I went. Where have you traveled recently?" Now, this lets her know that you're also a traveler without bragging about it and that you have something else in common. It also gets her more curious about you and that there's more hidden depth to discover. By turning the conversation back to her, you get her more curious. "He's been to Florence, but he didn't try to impress me with a bunch of talk. What else is there about this guy?" Breaking down her barriers. Some women are not easy to build rapport with because they're very defensive and guarded. You have to be willing to knock down the walls she's put around herself so that you can see what she's really like. This takes some skill and some verbal ability. You have to get real with her so that you know how to get the rapport that you seek. Sometimes this is just telling her a few jokes to get her to loosen up. Sometimes more drastic measures are necessary, like showing her you're not to be walked on when she acts bratty. Be ready to confront resistant behavior when it comes up and work past it. She's only putting up defensive barriers, and she needs you to work through them as a test of your resilience. It's to see if you will push through. Effective questions. Good questions for a woman are those that let her know that you're interested in her, but in a way that seems like genuine curiosity. You also ask questions that bring out positive responses and also move her towards particular feelings of comfort, security, and excitement. Here's a bad question. "So, what television shows do you like?" Here's a good question. "So, which one of the women on Sex and the City are you most like?" Here's a bad question. "So, what do you do for work?" Here's a good question. "So, what are you doing to change the world?" Another example of a good question is one that elicits her values. "So, if you won the lottery and could do any work you wanted, what would it be?" That one gets her thinking and dreaming a little, and it also tells you a lot about her personality based on her response. I call these questions power questions, or sometimes inspirational questions. Here are more examples of them. "What are you doing to make the world a better place?" "What's your favorite memory as a child?" "What's your best trait?" "What's the most erotic, non-sexual part of your body?" Use this one a little later in the conversation. "Do you consider yourself a generous person, a giver? What did you learn today?" Or, "What did you learn yesterday?" Questions like these set you apart from all the other guys and show her that you're genuinely interested. They also elicit her values so that you can make a more qualified judgment about her character. Showing her fun. Now, I would have made this number one, but it's been stated enough already throughout this program. A woman feels comfortable with a guy that she can have fun with. That breaks down all kinds of barriers. If she doesn't feel that click, then you've got an ugly uphill battle coming your way. Rapport is as much about laughing and having a good time as much as anything else. It's not all serious stuff here, okay? We shouldn't just be talking about our serious childhood traumas. If she's not laughing, she's not having fun, and you're not doing your job. Get rid of the infatuation up front. Infatuation. Definition: foolish and usually extravagant passion or love or admiration. One of the symptoms of dating and seduction of attractive women that afflicts men is what I call the babe shock factor. When you first approach a woman you find attractive, what's going through your head most of the time? Oh, wow, I can't believe I'm talking to this hot chick. This is great. I wonder if she likes me. God, I hope she likes me. And you proceed to act like a goober, fawning all over her and complimenting her, smiling all the time, leaning in, buying her drinks, complimenting her. The alpha man knows that he's not supposed to do that, but he can't help thinking to himself what a lucky guy he is right now. And the shock of her presence leaves him trapped under her spell. He fumbles over words, and his confidence slips a few notches because he put her up on a pedestal, thinking that somehow her opinion of him really matters. He's in babe shock. He's infatuated. Now let's add some perspective with another situation. You're talking to an average-looking woman at the grocery checkout. You're not really interested in her, but she seems pretty interested in talking to you about the deal that you just got on Guinness beer and the chicken pot pies. In fact, the more you shrug and act disinterested, the more she keeps talking to you. What's different here? Well, right off the bat, your body language, tone of voice, and attitude. I'll bet that you, first of all, didn't turn towards her and display a really open stance. Looks eager. Didn't give her a big, beaming, happy-to-be-in-your-shadow smile. Didn't really care if you got her phone number or address. Didn't start talking suggestive and didn't try to touch her or get sexual. I'll tell you, I was on a cruise to Mexico for a vacation, and I met this really cute Asian gal at our dinner table. You're always seated with the same people night after night. Now, I wasn't really interested in her initially, and I know for a fact that I acted more interested in my dinner than her conversation. The result? Well, every couple of minutes, she asked a question about me. She asked for my email and sent me pictures and sent me her phone numbers, her cell phone and her phone number, and various hints about meeting up with her from down in L.A. And honestly, she wasn't very interested at first in me, until I made it clear I wasn't really hitting on her. Most guys give up their game right away with a good-looking woman. Now, a lot of guys already realize this about themselves, but they lack a critical tool in their utility belt to help them cope with it. They need a tool that will help them keep perspective when they first talk to an attractive woman. The best way you can do this, and I believe this is a skill that comes naturally with older men if they've kept a healthy alpha man attitude, is to imagine the future to get rid of this initial babe shock intimidation factor. Now, what do I mean by this? Think about the last serious relationship you may have had with a woman, where you ended it. What was the pattern? First off, you met her and you got excited. You had that tingle of newness, the novelty. It was a thrill. It was exciting to your nervous system. You got her number and asked her out, and somehow you got her to accept. You dated or met her several times, and there was a spark of interest from at least one of you. Somehow, you got her to keep seeing you, and in spite of any wimpy approval-seeking behavior on your part that you may have demonstrated, you kept seeing each other, and eventually, you got in the sack and you bumped uglies. After a while of seeing each other, you felt the excitement you once had start to cool off. She no longer intimidated you with her looks or the prospect of sleeping with her. She didn't seem quite as attractive. In many ways, you got bored of her, because now you had her. When the boredom got bad enough, and your interest in finding another woman got high enough, you called it quits. Or she sensed your lack of attention and interest and booted you out the door first. There's a saying, you show me the most beautiful woman in the world, and I'll show you a guy who's tired of banging her. Look, I know that's not very politically correct, but there's a lot of truth in there. Without an emotional attachment, most guys are ready to move on if there isn't anything new or novel to challenge them. Men have wanderlust when it comes to women. We want novelty, and sex isn't enough to keep the interest going over the long haul. Women have evolved over the millennia to bond tightly with a man for at least 4 years or so that she could establish a stable support system if she were to bear any children. That's usually the outcome, because this is, of course, going back to the days when we didn't have birth control. She achieved her biological imperative by having a baby and making sure she and the child would be able to survive. The man, on the other hand, needed to satisfy his need to get his genes into the next generation by having sex with many women, since he could never be sure a child was really his. So he had to increase the probability. By the way, women are not as faithful as they would have you believe. It's estimated that the number of women who cheat on their husbands is at least equal to the men who cheat on their wives, around 50 to 60%. Now, by inseminating many women, a man increased the probability that he was able to carry on his bloodline, his genes. Women, on the other hand, always knew which baby was theirs since they have to carry it for 9 months, right? Okay, excuse the evolutionary biology there, but you scientist eggheads out there will understand what I'm getting at. and pretty much every guy will. The bottom line of this is for you to take steps up front to keep from falling into a trance or a spell just because a woman is attractive. The trick is to imagine all the things up front that got you to step 5 and step 6 in the outline that I have above. After a while seeing each other, you felt the excitement start to cool off, you weren't intimidated anymore, and things just generally weren't as interesting. Keeping a healthy perspective about the fact that this woman is really just another woman keeps you from jumping off the deep end. What aspects of her did you ignore or overlook with your starry-eyed dreaming? What were you thinking about that left you bored, disinterested, and just plain not attracted to the woman you were seeing? What was different in the end when you finally got sick of her? The sex, even if it was good, was the same sex. You could see her faults and imperfections. You could see her bad habits and her ordinariness. Yes, she has to poop and fart too. Not what you were thinking about when you met her the first time, huh? You could see how she'd age and grow old, and eventually she'd look like one of the blue hairs you always see at bingo with your mom. Later on, you no longer found yourself wanting or needing her approval. At the end, your mind started focusing on the reality of the situation with her, as opposed to the fantasy. Now, if you think about all these unromantic fantasies when you first meet an attractive woman, you'll probably short-circuit a lot of the glamour and illusion that blinds you and starts you down this road of infatuation too soon. You'll also stop a lot of that wimpy approval-seeking behavior that you tend to do dead in its tracks. You'll remember, she's just another woman. In some circles, this is called aversion therapy, and it's very effective. Imagine her sitting on the toilet. Or imagine what she'll look like in 30 years or so with blue hair and wrinkles and saggy. When you can picture her in the most regular of circumstances, meaning that you can remove all the infatuated illusions that you tend to put up about her, you'll stand a much better chance of keeping a level head while you're in the game. And you'll also keep an idea of what her true value is overall. You won't overvalue her up front. Don't give her too much credit before you've had a chance to meet the real her. No woman can live up to the romantic ideals that a man creates for her, and there's only disappointment waiting down the road. One of the best ways I found to use aversion therapy was when I had to break up with a hot girlfriend who was a total head case. This is way back when I was young and pretty easily obsessed. Every time I felt my mind slipping back to thinking about her or missing her, I imagined watching her puke all over herself. Pretty gross, huh? But you know what? It worked, because pretty soon I couldn't have cared less about her. My mind was repulsed with her memory every time I brought it up, and so she was soon forgotten. Every woman becomes ordinary after a while. It might take a week, a month, a year, but it will happen. The sooner you see the future and that she's just another person, okay, maybe a hot one with a nice pair of boobs, the sooner you can get rid of your infatuation and your aloofness will start to work to your favor. You can then focus your energy on your posture and your presentation of your alpha energy, while not getting all giggly and wimpy for every chick that comes along. What you're trying to do is get your mind and emotions back under your own control, in the present moment, so that you can get to a place where you can deal with an attractive woman effectively. Once you see and feel the attitudes that breed success, you can never go back. It's like having your eyes open to a whole new way of looking at the world. CSFs. CSFs are critical success factors. Critical success factors are the primary skills you need to be effective at a task. When you have all of these skills down, you'll be a force to be reckoned with. Women will not be a problem for you. On the other hand, if you suck at any one of these CSFs, your success will be limited to the highest level of that ability. In other words, it's your weakest link in the chain. Your least developed skill in this list will be your weakest link, and that will determine the highest level of success you can possibly have with women. These are the same CSFs present in sales. Now, why did I pick sales? Because if you get right down to it, seduction is sales. Sales is seduction. The two are virtually identical. You're taking your product, you, and selling it to the customer, women. If you disagree with this, take a look at any married couple. Somebody sure sold someone there, didn't they? Here are the CSFs. Number one, prospect. Prospecting includes all the areas of meeting new women. This can be going to bars, cold contacts on the street, referrals, which are friends of friends, speed dating, internet dating, singles parties, nightclubs, the gym, you name it. This is where you find your potential customers. You need to get good at meeting them and getting their phone numbers or emails. Period. You can't be good at anything after this point without being somewhat decent at prospecting. And part of good prospecting is figuring out which candidates do not meet your criteria and then flushing them early and fast. Number two, gain rapport. This is where you create a connection between you and the women that you meet when prospecting. It should be created immediately when you meet them. And again, each time you get together with them or talk to them. There is no greater indicator of an alpha man's success with women than this one ability. If you can't get to a level of rapport, then you're only going to be able to bed those women with extremely strong attraction for your looks, or if she has really low self-esteem, or maybe you get her really drunk. And those are not the circumstances I recommend for guys to try to get laid in. Think of this as natural hypnotism. You're not using any real magical skills here. You're just being clever enough to reach her most intimate thought processes and insert yourself in them. 3. Determine needs. This is an interesting part of the success factors where you become, in essence, a spy, a psychologist, an interrogation expert, a master detective. Just about every profession you can imagine that requires a real ability to understand what motivates people. I've found that this part becomes fun if you can take on the role of an expert while you're looking into her eyes to find out what it is she craves in life. You're her life counselor, helping her find a way to her goals. Mind you, not her therapist. We all have common interests and desires. We all have things unique to us that motivate us. One person desires money and another fame. One person wants to help the less privileged and another wants to run a company. Whatever her particular desire is, it's your job to figure it out. And then, 4, create solutions. When you figured out what it is that drives somebody, then you must be able to create a solution that meets their needs. When you can demonstrate that you've got what they need or want, or that you can help them get there, you're suddenly a lot more attractive as a companion to them. Let's be perfectly honest. I'm not suggesting that you need to be able to exploit everybody you know or meet, or that they cannot be of value to you just as friends. But what I'm saying here is that the only associations we tend to make in life are those that benefit us in some way. Even the most abusive relationships fulfill a need for both parties, sick as that may be. It's the way we're wired, and it makes sense if you really think about it. 5. Overcome objections. Even though you may be the best guy on the planet for a woman, you can't force her to recognize this. You may create the best solution in the world and even present it pretty convincingly, but if you cannot overcome her emotional obstacles and objections to your sale, you're back on the street looking for another buyer, my alpha friend. Understand that most objections are just a stall. We object to things just to object to them, to hold them off from being put in a position of commitment or decision. And that's why this stage must be handled so carefully, because you don't get to sit there and present her with a formal legal case that would make John Grisham salivate. That's logic, and it doesn't work with women. You must overcome her objections by knowing when they need to be answered, ignored, or even sidestepped. You overcome her objections by getting her emotions and feelings involved in you, not her logic. 6. Closing. Closing is the art of knowing when to shut the fuck up. And I'm putting that about as nicely as I possibly can. Once you've overcome her objections, it doesn't even matter what the question is. The answer is yes. So you better have an end game prepared for when you get to the yes. I've heard from guys who have gotten all the way to the finish line with a babe that they've wanted for 20 years, and they end up screwing it up because they didn't have a condom. Now, that's just simply astounding. Actually, it's astoundingly stupid. There comes a point when you just stop talking, stop trying to convince her that you're the next sexual adventure for her life, and just take her by the hand and lead her to the bedroom. And there you two bang away until you both need lotion for your swollen, raw, reproductive parts. You wake up at 4 a.m., and you start it all over again. Closing is really about just doing what's necessary to do when it's time. Most guys just chicken out of taking action because they're afraid of being rejected. 7. Follow up and repeat sales. Do you want to come back to this well for more water? Well, you better set it up so that she'll want you back again. It's hard to screw this part up unless you're a really lousy lay. Here's news for you. Most guys are a really lousy lay. They're bad, and a woman would never tell them any other way than just never sleeping with them again. Sometimes this step is just about moving on. Once was enough, and now it's time to sail to new waters. This should not be a problem if you are honest and straightforward with her in the first place. You were honest, weren't you? If not, then you probably got what you deserved. Just to give you an idea of how easy it is to get laid and how much easier it can be to screw it up, let me tell you about one of my past seductions. Well, it really wasn't that bad, but I'd love to go back and fix this one. A few years back, I was dating somebody fairly steadily, but with no commitment. I got interested in this lawyer I had met while snowboarding in Lake Tahoe. We were all staying in the same cabin, and I got the chance to chat her up. She was about my age, nice, blonde, very nice body, about a 9 out of 10. We hit it off really well, and I knew we needed to go out together again. I walked up to her in the living room of the cabin, and I put a pad of paper on her legal work that she was wrapped up in, and I told her, "Take a break, write down your phone number for me." She smiled and complied, giving me her email address as well. I also slipped her my card and her hairbrush before we left on the next day. Now, back in San Francisco, about a week later, I call her up and I took her out to play pool with me. Things didn't get really very far in that meeting, but I decided that I'd continue this thing again later on. Besides, I had another woman on the side, so I could go after her with a little bit more of a relaxed attitude, knowing I didn't have to worry about whether or not it worked out. Well, eventually, the lawyer girl and I had a few more dates, and we got to the date that I knew would be a seduction. We went to go eat at a nice restaurant in her part of the city. Then we went to a little dive bar that had a cool atmosphere, pillows on the floor, dark, and we had a few beers. After that, it was back to her apartment where we had some wine and lit a few candles. Things got heavy, and I told her it might be best if I stayed, since I'd had a few too many drinks. One thing led to another, and eventually I got her undressed and into bed, where I started a little tongue actioner. South of the border, if you know what I mean. Well, right then, in the middle of writing her name with my tongue, the phone rang. Now, I knew something wasn't right when she actually left the bedroom to go answer it. I got my tongue in her holiest of holes, and she had to go answer the phone? What the? And then it hit me. There's only one person that would call at this time of night. When she came back into the bedroom after a lengthy conversation, I proceeded to ask her what was going on. Why did she leave like that in the middle of my delightful foreplay? And sure enough, it turns out the phone call was her ex, who she still hadn't gotten over. Well, that was a major buzzkill, I assure you. I basically listened to her lame story of female obsession over this guy that mistreated her. Does this sound familiar, by the way? And I rolled over and went to sleep as quickly as possible. The next morning, I got up, chatted with her nicely, and eventually left for good. Now, what was my major error? What should I have done in this situation? I should have just ignored the ex-boyfriend bullshit and gotten back to my business. I should not have let it bother me in the slightest. I could have let her whine a little bit and then moved right back in where I left off, with a little warming up, of course, and I'm pretty damn sure she would have gone for it, too. Instead, I let her whine a little after a call and talk about him, and then I just rolled over and went to sleep, disgusted that she was just another dumb chick who can't keep her head on straight. I let the fact that there was another guy in the picture rattle my cage. Now think about this. She came back to bed naked and slept with me naked. We woke up naked. In fact, she came out of the shower with her tits staring right at me for a good 5 minutes in the morning. We parted on good terms, but we never talked again. The moral of the story? Unplug her fucking phone the first chance you get. Seriously, I don't recommend tampering with her stuff, but you might actually want to consider accidentally knocking the phone off the hook. Actually, the real moral of my story is that you should put aside those emotions and insecurities when it comes to seduction. Don't get all self-righteous and indignant. Ignore all the distractions and obstacles. Every woman knows full well what she's doing when it comes to sleeping with you, and you're not going to hurt her by sleeping with her. She's tough. She won't break. You're not to blame, nor are you ever wrong or taking advantage of her for going forward. The only truth of that situation I had was that I left this gal in a worse situation than before by not seducing her. Worse? Yes, worse. You see, by not seducing her, I gave her more emotional ammunition to keep herself thinking that she should stay involved with that other guy. If I had continued, she would have had a great night of lovemaking, and she would have been given a chance to see what kind of opportunity I had in store with her. I could have eased her emotional transition. Who knows? Maybe even become her boyfriend. This is a little reframing, but it's just as valid as my stupid, indignant attitude was. And I didn't get any pussy afterwards either. Well, maybe a few licks. Lesson learned. A note on overcoming objections. I've told you that everything in life is like sales, and nowhere is it more like this than with women. One of the things you deal with regularly in sales is objections, and the one thing you learn is that every objection can be overcome if you know how to handle it. Objections are going to come up in the process of dating and seducing women. She will want to put up obstacles to test you and to make you appreciate that she's not a slut. In fact, some women have a mental process that watches how easy they're making it for you, and if she feels like she's being too easy, they pull away. And they won't even know why they're doing it. They just do it. It's not always important to have a counter for every one of her objections. What's most important is to understand why she objected in the first place. What was the reasoning? Then you can address the real cause because they don't always require a direct answer. A woman isn't as interested in you answering her questions, and you never should. Your control of the situation relies on you always being the one to ask the questions. Again, a woman isn't as interested in you answering her questions. What she needs addressed is her two fundamental needs to be with you. Number one, attraction. Does she feel the gut-level desire for you she has to have for you to seduce her? She has to want you. There has to be that chemistry. And number two, trust. Can she believe that you're not some kind of player out to hurt her? She has to believe in you. This also falls along in line with rapport. You could get by with only attraction, but eventually she'll need to feel a level of security and trust with you to go any further. If she's objecting to you in any way, she needs more attraction, or trust, or both. The idea is to give her just enough trust so that she knows you're not dangerous or a sexual threat to her, or a threat to her sense of comfort, or to her heart. After that necessary amount of trust is established, it must be all attraction. Otherwise, you're never going to get to lift off with her. Alpha strategy. Your first step to handling objections is always to come up with ways to overcome them. However, if you run into objections with women frequently, it would do you good to step back and see where those objections are coming from and what's triggering them. There might be a flaw in your approach that really needs to be ironed out. Maybe you're rushing a certain part of the game, or you're not looking for the right indicators before you move forward. Watch for repeating patterns that point towards an area that you need to either review, diagnose, or possibly fix. Diagnosing your game with women. Generally speaking, there are some very common problems where guys go wrong in the various stages of seduction and dating women. I'm going to review the checkpoints of where you should be with women at each point in the game and how you'll know you're there. Then I'll cover the various troubleshooting techniques to help you figure out where you might be going wrong. We'll refer back to the CSFs to give you an idea of where you are strategically, and then we'll map this thing all the way to the Trojan that you've got stuffed under your nightstand. Step 1. The introduction. During the introduction, you have only one game plan: to raise her interest enough with your teasing and your humor so that she knows she wants to have more. Just when you think she's ripe, you either get her away from the pack, isolate her, or you get her number and eject from the situation. Now, the better you get at this, the further you can go in that first encounter. Younger women, those in the 18 to 24 range, they need to be moved on further in the first meeting, or you might not get the second one. Their buying temperature can cool off at a moment's notice. They're much more fickle. The older, or slightly more mature women, and I mean by that is 24 and up, you can get away with a longer seduction window because their interest will hold a little bit longer. Here are the biggest problems with the introduction phase and the solutions for each. Number 1, you fail to raise her interest. Her chemistry, her real spark of attraction here. If you sense that she's just not digging you, go for the number, but don't expect anything else. You've got to have some interest from her to stand any chance of her wanting to see you again when you call her. Go back to building rapport and getting attraction going and using some humor to get her interest again. Number 2, when you talk to her, she acts weird or distant. Just like the hot and cold routine, a lot of women, younger women and very attractive ones especially, know that they can just pull any shit they want with a guy because 90% of guys don't know how to handle it. Now, I'd hold this against women if they weren't right about doing it. She can act any way she wants with guys because she considers herself the supply and you have the demand. You have to use your conversational sparring techniques to break past her shield. Again, build rapport to establish that feeling of commonality. 3, she has her bitch shields up. This is where she acts like a bitch to keep men away. Her shield serves as a protection for her because most guys don't have a clue how to get past it, and those that don't are generally not worth her time anyways. Only beta guys will give up and walk away with their tail between their legs. The way past this is the same as the previous example. You have to get very sassy back to her, only with a real sense of sporting humor to have fun. It's like sparring, and sparring is the way to break past her barriers. When she sees that you can see past her shields and know what's behind them, most women will just break down those shields anyways. Just get real with her and show her that you're a confident guy. The last ditch is to appeal to her sense of fair play. If you can't break past a woman's coldness, you have to be willing to call her on her behavior and cast her own self-image into doubt. Almost every single woman you meet has genuine insecurities about herself. Hey, she's single. Something's got to be wrong, right? And you got to be smart enough to find a way to bring up these little insecurities in a very non-attacking way. Here's an example. Well, Maria, I've been nothing but courteous to you for about the last couple of minutes, and you've been nothing but rude to me in return. I'm sorry you find it necessary to pay me back that way. Perhaps you can tell me what it is that I did that made you dislike me like this. Now, of course, this is said so convincingly that she cannot interpret you to be feeling down about yourself. And if it's delivered in a please help me understand tone of voice, it takes the heat off of you and makes her look like the bad guy. And you're going to find that she's going to turn around in her attitude. 4, other people keep blocking you. Sometimes this is her friends, sometimes it's yours. If it's your friends blocking you, hey dude, it's your fault. You either chose bad wingmen, or you need to cut loose some dead weight from your social life. If it's a guy you don't know that tries to interfere with what you're doing with this woman, you need to defuse him. This guy is a cock blocker, and we'll cover this in detail in the next section. If it's her friends blocking you, you probably forgot to make yourself friendly to them first before you picked out your prey. When a woman's friends block you, it's a sure sign that they see you as a threat or somebody that they're jealous about. In either case, you didn't do the proper work in advance to make them like you. Step number two, close for a phone number and or email. Meeting a woman all comes down to the bottom line. Did you get her phone number or email? Did you get contact information? Any answer other than yes is an excuse and completely unacceptable. Now, if she says, number one, I have a boyfriend, well, she's either telling the truth, in which case you're still not out of the game, or she wants an easy way out so she doesn't have to feel like she's hurting your feelings. Learn how to read her body language to see if that's an excuse, or just hit her with the all-purpose, so are you happy with him? And then see how she reacts. If she hesitates, you assume no and you keep going. If she says yes fairly quickly, you give her a wink and go about your day. Now here are some alpha man rebuttals to the I've got a boyfriend excuse. She says, I've got a boyfriend. Hey, we know each other 5 minutes and already you're telling me your problems. Hey, look, I'm not looking for a job here. What, are you trying to set me up with him? I'm sure you've got a couple of pairs of shoes, too. Isn't it always fun to shop for more? If it makes you happy, you can bring him with us. Does he make you happy? Now, if this comes up in conversation before you've had a chance to even ask, ignore it the first time and just keep working your strategies on her. The best way to handle it, if you can get her laughing and interested, is to just ignore this little phrase and pretend like it really isn't a big concern. If you try and get into addressing it directly, you lose. Number two, I don't have a phone. What she's really saying is that she hasn't warmed up enough to you yet. Keep working at it. Everybody has access to a phone somehow. Take the opportunity to tease her about it if she uses the excuse. What? No phone? Wow, do you have running water? There's this new invention called toilets. Do you know what those are? Three, I don't give out my phone number. Give me yours. This is a classic stall. Another nice way of saying that there isn't enough rapport yet. There's not enough connection or attraction here. Or she's just testing you. You have to have your counter ready for this one right away. Now, come on. Guys still fall for that line, do they? Really? We both know you'd never call me. Go ahead, write down your number. I'm not a weirdo. Whatever you do, never give her your phone number until she's given you hers first. It puts you in a defensive position where you're going to be wondering all the time if she's going to call. It puts you in a defensive position where you're going to be wondering if she'll call, and she never will. You'll always be hanging, waiting. Four, I don't know you. This is another variation of the stall tactic, but this one means that she just wants more convincing that you're worth her time. Prove your alpha status. So your response would be, and I don't know you either, so this is a perfect chance to get to know each other better. Or, was there a time when you didn't know your best friend? Imagine where you'd be now if you said that to her when you met her. Five, no. Well, if it's clear that this is a real no and not a variation of I don't know you that well, then just smile, nod, and go about your fantastic day. No loss. Next. Here's a high-tech and slightly sneaky way to get a girl's phone number. Instead of asking her for the number, tell her to pull out her cell phone, and when she does, take it from her, put in your number, and dial it. And then when your cell phone rings, you're going to see that it shows up on the caller ID, and bam, you've got her number. Some girls might get a little bit irked at this, but if they feel like it was tricked, you didn't do your work up front. Step 3. Phone call for meeting or close for meeting. When you call a woman up, make sure you're reestablishing the rapport as quickly as possible. Most of the time, you're just another number that she gave out, and she won't remember you from any of the other guys she talked to. It's your job to differentiate yourself. Once you've reestablished yourself in her mind, get her laughing. Remind her of where you met. Then you need to make the call short and sweet and to the point. Hey, Jennifer, I need to get going, but I thought you might be fun to hang out with. Let's get together this week, and we'll meet at whatever bar or club or whatever. We can get a cup of coffee and check out the stores around there. Is Wednesday or Thursday better for you? Assume the sale. Don't ask for the date. Tell her, and then shut up. We're closing here, right? Listen very carefully to her words and what she says. You're refining your alpha man intuition, so you should be able to smell the bullshit when it comes your way. If she says no and doesn't offer another time or date, she's probably not interested. Move on. No, really, dude. Move on. You should be collecting so many phone numbers by this point that if any woman blows you off, you're on to the next one. There's no begging here. There's no scarcity. If she says no and offers a reschedule, hesitate for a second and then check your calendar. And then you can say if you might be able to fit it in or not. If she says sure, but she wants to check with her later in the week, turn her down. Say, look, Jennifer, my time is really pretty important, as I'm sure it is for you. If we can't schedule it firm right now, we should find another time. What other time works for you? If she insists that you call her, what she's really doing is making a little bit of an escape chute here so that she can get out of the date and not seem like she's flaking. What would happen is that when the time comes for you to actually call her, you'd leave messages all night long and never hear from her once, and no date. So don't accept half-hearted acceptances. They're just an insult. Either she's in or she's out, A or B. Alpha men don't let other people waste their frickin' time. If she says yes, say great. Get her to write the information down while you're on the phone, and then get off the phone right away. Any more time you spend on the phone with her after this point just works against you. She can get to know you when she sees you in person, not over the phone. If you find that you're getting turned down a lot on the phone for the first meeting, here are some of the common problems. 1. You aren't establishing enough rapport when you get the number. Solution: get more rapport. Work at it. You can get 100 numbers, but none of them will be interested in you if you don't at least warm her up a little bit to want to meet you again. 2. You're not pitching her right. Solution: make the next meeting sound unbelievably fun and low-key, low obligation. No heavy date expectations. No dinner and movie dates until much later. Your first duty is to get her having fun with you. Fun, fun, fun. No excuses here. A woman doesn't care about how you feel about her until she has a feeling for you. 3. You ignored her no interest signs when they were first put out there. Remember, a woman won't say sorry, no, to you until she's been pushed to the limit. She only wants to avoid looking like the bitch for rejecting you, so she wants to let you down easy. Solution: watch for her body language. Watch the indicators that she's only being nice and polite, and call her on it if you need to. Nicely, but call her on it. 4. You may be creeping her out with too much attention. If you call too many times to get hold of a woman or too quickly, it's a turnoff. Hey, we've all seen that scene in Swingers, right? Solution: you can only call her once every couple days. Don't leave any messages on the first call, and if you don't get an answer on the next, consider leaving an upbeat, short message. If she doesn't call you back, flush her down the drain. Alpha rule: never call her up for a date without a definite plan of what you're going to do and what time you plan to do it. She doesn't want to just hang out, so be sure you have a plan. Take the lead. Step 4, first meeting / rapport. When you first get together with her, not counting the time you met her, but in an isolated date meeting, your objective is to get the feeling of rapport started. You have to find that groove that works for you in terms of conversation. Don't be afraid to try different approaches. Use some mirroring techniques or just find a subject that she appears to enjoy talking about and then work it hard. This is a perfect example of that fluid thinking that I was telling you about. You have to be flexible and really explore every angle to find the subjects that turn her on. When you find her buttons, you keep pushing them for more effect. If you're not getting rapport, you simply need to review the earlier section on rapport and keep working on those skills. It does take time to get the knack of it. Make sure you're also keeping her laughing during the meeting, because this is going to equate to how much fun she thinks she had. Humor is one of the critical elements in the whole game. The next way to get that rapport going is through the use of power questions. Use some of the power questions I gave you, as well as make up some of your own. Get her talking about herself, and she'll be much more involved and much more likely to open up. And sometimes there is nothing you can do to get the rapport you desire. Some women just don't warm up. Some others are just moody. More often than not, however, you will find that the woman is working to establish some kind of connection with you as well. Don't be afraid to pull the plug on a date that's going bad, or if she's not working at it, though. Some women will go on dates with the go ahead and impress me attitude, or they accept a date figuring that the worst thing that could happen is that they get a free meal. If you sense that the woman isn't really digging you, isn't really into you, or for whatever reason is refusing to be responsive to you, and you can feel that she's holding back or just not making it easy for you, trying to make it difficult, say something like this. Look, you know, I'm feeling that I'm putting a lot of energy out here trying to get to know you better. For whatever reason, though, you don't seem to be too into this tonight. Maybe I should take you home now. And then shut up and listen to her. If she says, yeah, that's a good idea, then get rid of her quickly. Get her out of your life. If she says she's just having an off day or some other excuse, make a decision whether you believe her or not, and then go from there. If her attitude doesn't make a major turnaround, I suggest you end the evening and get rid of her. Nothing will drag you down faster than trying to win an uphill battle that you've already lost. Save your energy for a woman that deserves it. Step 5. First kiss. There's a lot of anxiety from guys about the first kiss situation, and it doesn't need to be this way. They go through the entire date wondering if they're going to get a kiss, or maybe even more. First of all, let's state the most important first rule about the first kiss. If you didn't achieve rapport and some success raising her attraction level during the first date, the kiss is not the point. She'll probably just kiss you to end things nicely and get it over with and not make things awkward. In fact, even if you don't think you got on so well with her, you may go for the kiss and be surprised to find her eager and willing. An alpha man always ends the date with a kiss. Always. So if your goal is the kiss, go for it. You've really got nothing to lose. All during the date, you have opportunities to check in for her willingness to kiss you. And if many of the signs come up good, you're in great shape for at least a kiss at the end. All you have to do to find out is to lean in close and tell her something. If she doesn't change her body language and stance and even glances briefly down at your mouth, well, that's a good sign. She's staying close to you and she's already probably thinking about a kiss and she's actually ready for it. You should also be watching for opportunities to briefly touch her and make prolonged eye contact. I recommend learning palm reading so that you can appeal to her sense of mysticism and fate while holding her hand and tracing across her skin with your fingers. Very sensual. If you reach the end of the date, you lean in for a kiss and she pulls away, giving some lame excuse about not kissing on the first date, or if she evades your lips and goes for a hug, it's generally not worth pursuing any further. Because any woman who is attracted and interested in you will want an end-of-date kiss. Let me say that again. Any woman who is attracted and interested in you will want an end-of-the-date kiss and won't refuse it. It's that simple. Don't rationalize her behavior for her. If she were into you, she'd give you the kiss. If you get to this point on the date without a kiss, you probably ignored a lot of pre-work that would have made this successful. In other words, it's already too late at this point, and there aren't a whole lot of alternatives. Here's another alternative that I prefer. If you feel the rapport is good during your time with her, don't wait until the end of the date for a kiss. Do it earlier. Then you can both just relax. Just wait for a good time to get close and give her a quick smooch on the mouth. No tongue, just some moist lips. Then you can make a witty remark like, "There, now you don't have to worry if I'm going to kiss you." Now that's an alpha man approach. Step 6. First sex. Yes, there are a few steps between the first kiss and the first sex, but they're mostly about turning up the tension and dialing up the heat between you and the woman. You know you're doing okay when you get the kiss and a follow-up date or two, and the vibe is still positive and upbeat. That's a good indicator. You should be working to achieve a deeper level of rapport with her, including occasional affectionate displays, such as touching, kissing, and prolonged eye contact. Be warned that there's a myth about third date sex. The general belief is that on the third date, you're either going to get some or not. I don't follow this myth, partially because I want to leave myself prepared for any date sex. And if you act as if you think you're entitled to some ass or set it up that way with her, you could be in for a rude awakening. It's another agenda that she'll sense and resist. You'll know when the time is right by her behavior. One of the things that I like to do is to suggest cooking for her dinner at her house. This pretty much sets up everything for the possible seduction. She'll be turned on by having a man cook for her in her kitchen and maybe even cook in her bedroom a little later on. If she shoots the idea down in favor of something more public, she may be delaying that first sex by avoiding any misleading circumstances. So go with it and suggest something else. You'll just have to use that date to your advantage and get her in the mood again later. Again, the point is to lead up to each one of these milestones and the progression from meeting her to getting her to the bedroom. You don't make sudden jumps to any one of them without building up sexual tension and attraction. None of your moves should seem like they've appeared out of the clear blue sky. They should happen when they feel right and when they're welcome. By the time you get to any of them, you should already know what's going to happen. To paraphrase Sun Tzu, the battle is won before it is ever fought. Make sure you pave the way for sex in the same way. You have to have had a few sessions of intense kissing and some touching beforehand, and then sex becomes the next logical step in the progression. Here's how an alpha man handles it. The alpha man takes his time. He moves in slowly, yet deliberately, but she knows he's moving in. He also takes time to back off and give her a moment to breathe and wonder if he will move back in again. This is two steps forward and one step back. When he moves in, it's when he senses the most potential for response. He doesn't move hesitatingly, but definitively. When he kisses her, he puts his hand behind her neck or gently cradling the side of her neck. He makes it strong and passionate, and then he pulls away. The alpha man is the first one to end the interaction, so that she feels his confidence and his self-control. And, of course, she's left wanting more. When he touches her, he doesn't grope or lewdly handle her. He caresses her in a way that makes her feel sexy. When he moves her towards sex, he touches her slowly and lovingly. He's not hurrying at any point, and he's not hesitating, really, either. When it comes time for him to make his big move, he makes sure he gives her so much teasing foreplay that she is the one who wants to rip off her clothes so he can bang her. He never touches her vagina until she's practically begging for it. The alpha man is also the last one to undress or to come, because he knows that if he can pleasure her enough first, he's guaranteed to have his fun. So keep your cock out of sight until you're in the home stretch. You see the difference in mindset here? You attend to her enough that sex becomes a given. Move confidently forward, and if you're stopped along the way because she's not sure or she's scared, you just give her a sincere, reassuring compliment about her body and move back to kissing. Then you move forward again. Don't get into any discussions at this point, like justifying why she should or about her feelings for her. Don't get into any discussions at this point, like justifying why she should sleep with you or about your feelings for her. Just keep it mostly physical, with some occasional reassurances. Logic will not work here, only passion. Alpha tactic. Inevitably, when a woman gets aroused, she'll get to a point where she has to pee. If you've been fooling around on the couch for a while, she'll need to take a break, and you can even be the one to suggest that you take a break. When she gets out of the bathroom, be waiting for her with a glass of water. Not right in front of the bathroom, but close by, away from where you were just getting hot with each other. This gets her refreshed and shows some good thinking on your part. While she's drinking it, slip around behind her and start kissing her from behind. Kiss her neck and back, rub her shoulders, rub your hands over her hips, and so on, then slowly start to work under her clothing. Run your hands up her stomach to her breasts and caress them. Undo her bra so that you can get your hands in there without too much obstruction. Then move your hands down to her butt. Avoid squeezing and just rub and caress. Move your hands around front and start teasing around her pussy. Then, after she's responding to this, then start to undress her pants or skirt or whatever it is she happens to be wearing. After just a little while of this, you should be able to get her completely undressed, and at that point she'll be turning around to help you out of your clothes. Take her by the hand, my alpha friend, to the promised land. Defuse your enemies. One of the essential skills for alpha men, especially humans, is that they know how to avoid the loss of their status. Now, this status loss can come in many forms. First is death, most prominent in the animal kingdom, of course. The next is emasculation, the loss of your manhood in the eyes of your social group, and can be as damning as death in some cultures. This is social humiliation. Loss of self-respect and dignity. Your own self-image is priceless, and you must protect it at all costs. You cannot doubt yourself. Loss of possessions or income. Your provider status is measured directly against your ability to earn and support a family. This doesn't mean that you have to be rich or give a woman money and gifts, but you have to be able to consistently demonstrate your potential. Loss of power and status. You must make sure that your power is maintained. There are many people, men and women, who will try to steal this from you to build their own sense of self-esteem or power, and you must have the right strategies to deal with them. Loss of power and status. You must make sure that your power is maintained. There are many people, men and women, who will try to steal this from you to build their own sense of self-esteem or power, and you must have the right strategies to deal with them. You have to have a strategy to deal with the people who try to strip you of your power. One of the ones that you're going to encounter most frequently is the cock blocker. These guys and girls are the new enemy of the alpha man. They represent an obstacle to a guy who's looking to get with a woman, and therefore they're the modern equivalent of the fight for dominance in a tribe or a pack. Usually the male that proves his dominance and superiority gets to mate with the most females. He usually fights the reigning dominant male for his position, demonstrates his superior genetics, and defeats him in combat for his role. This can be seen even in history, where the commanding forces of a victorious invasion rape the women in their new conquest, even going so far as to kill other children born of the men that they defeated. Humanity can be just as brutal as in the animal kingdom. In today's world, this is thankfully not the norm. The worst you'll have to deal with is a possible fistfight or a shoving match, but more than likely you'll just have to handle a guy who wants a female for himself and will try to demonstrate his dominance verbally or by blocking your attempts to get to her. The only technique to effectively handle the situation is to defuse the situation with your wits, by using your sense of humor. As I stated before, today's alpha man isn't defined by his use of strength and brute force as he once had to. Now, more than ever in our civilized society, you have to be clever to survive in the singles jungle. In fact, your smarts will define you as an alpha more than your ability to physically overpower another man. That's why understanding these advanced psychological strategies will give you 10 times more success than just killing off the competition. Now, men aren't the only ones that will try to block your success with women. There are a lot of women who will do the same thing, out of jealousy and insecurity, mostly. Women are very competitive with other women for the affections of men and the attention. When you're obviously interested in a woman, her girlfriend may attempt to ruin your game, especially if she thinks you haven't paid the toll with enough attention to her. Note, when a woman goes out to meet men or puts herself in a situation to meet other men, she will not go with a woman that she finds threatening or any serious competition to herself. There are also unintentional cockblockers and the remote cockblockers like cell phone calls that she gets over the course of the night. So how do you evade and defuse these cockblockers when they appear? First, the women. Women are notorious for ruining a good seduction. What happens is that the guy opens a set of women, maybe with his wingman, and they all enjoy some good flirting and fun. Sometimes the other friend is just an ugly chick, but in any case, you have to avoid the inevitable. You see, the hot chick that you're looking to get with is going to feel guilty and very self-conscious that her friend is watching her get the action, and she's not going to just ditch your friend. She's going to be very self-conscious about this. You have to disarm the cock-blocking chick before she trashes your game. Here's how it's done. You, talking to the cock-blocker chick. Hey, Kathy? Obviously, you have no idea what this girl's name is. The cock-blocker says, no. Oh, I'm sorry, you just look so much like Kathy, my buddy John's ex-girlfriend. And the cock-blocker says, really? You, yeah, in fact, it's too bad he's not here right now. He'd be all over you. He's one of those guys who always seems to date the same type of woman, you know? Cock-blocker, yeah, sure, maybe smiling and giggling a little bit. You, John's one of those guys. He's really good looking, and these women are always after him. And the girls he dates always have that same look. Give her a little glance up and down as if you approve of her. Cockblocker, thinking that you're flattering her, she's probably loosening up a little bit. You, so what kind of guys do you go for? Cockblocker says tall, short, blonde, black hair, whatever she says. And you, saying, oh, wow, that sounds just like John, except for the smart part. I definitely need to introduce the two of you. Why don't you give me your phone number and I can get it to him? Of course, make this very clear that you're getting it for him. And she gives you her phone number, and this should take a little bit of wind out of her sails in terms of blocking you, because now you've just given your attention to her and you've helped her out. Then you can turn your attention back to the chick you were originally interested in. This approach works best when the other chick is not so hot, less than 7 on the 10 scale. What happens is that she now needs to stay on your good side to get a shot at John, since she probably isn't getting a lot of action herself. Plus, you're holding her fate with him, so she has to be a little bit nicer. And you've helped her. Also, by getting this girl's phone number, the hot chick she's with will also be more likely to give you hers when the time comes. You've already compounded the trust. Later, if you have to actually tell the cock-blocking chick something because she wants to meet John, just say John found some other gal in the meantime, but you'll keep an eye out for her. Now, if you're cock-blocked by another guy, sometimes called an AMOG, the alpha male other guy, who's either pissed at you or pissed that you're in his pond or he just wants the same chick you do, here's how you handle that situation. First, remember that the best tactic you can use is to be extremely nice to the asshole who's trying to scam your action. For the simple reason that if you try to scare or push this guy off, your target is going to smell your interest coming on too strong. Plus, it's going to seem a little bit too aggro. She now has the upper hand because you've given up your intentions right off the bat, not to mention any negative actions like getting physical or turning into a mean asshole on your part are going to diminish your value in her eyes. Nice guys don't get laid, but mean and nasty guys are also disqualified. Nothing is bigger turnoff to a woman than a guy who's just acting like a dick. So you have to take a similar approach with men. Remember the saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You must pull this guy into the conversation and lower him in her eyes. Look for any and every opportunity to one-up him without looking like it's a contest. Subtle digs work well. For example, cockblocker, hey man, I got this really great Harley at my house. It's over 20 years old. He's obviously trying to impress her with this. And you say, wow, that is so totally cool. I had this friend who was in a horrible motorcycle accident last year and he lost his leg. He wiped out on a curve and just shredded his leg below the knee. Then you turn to the girl, yeah, what do you think about motorcycles? And she says, oh, they're sort of cool, but I prefer sports cars like Ferraris. You, exactly, you're right on about that. Have you seen the latest Ferrari 360 GT? You know how fast that thing goes? Look like you're asking both of them, but you turn your attention specifically to her. See, you just take whatever he says, push it to the side, and take its place with your own better topic. And make sure that you don't make any statements that could sink you. In the last example I gave you there, you ask her what she thinks about motorcycles before going on about that horrible accident. Since she said she does think they're sorta cool, you can deflect this and follow the sports car lead. If she loves motorcycles, you move back into a question about motorcycles instead. Trust me, after about 10 minutes of this, where you're using genuine rapport-building skills on her, and the cock-blocker idiot can't keep in the game, he'll just eventually back down and crawl away, his tail between his legs. You out-alpha these guys by manipulating the conversation to keep you and her in the spotlight. And you avoid appearing that you're doing this to them. In other words, you don't want to show what you're doing. If you can keep up the banter, you're going to easily cock-block him right back. Heckler's dance. Note, this is an advanced tactic. Another way is to do what I call the heckler's dance on any guys that are already hitting on your possible targets. You're in a situation where there's a guy that could get the chick that you want if you don't take some action. What you need to do as part of this strategy is to start to insult him in a way that the chick will find funny, but not too mean, and then back off when the guy starts to get angry or defensive. You befriend him and demonstrate with your eyes or the way that you wiggle your nose at the chick that you're messing with this guy. So the objective is to dance back and forth with the cock blocker, riling him up while demonstrating your control of the situation with the girl. Now, this is a complicated scenario, so I have to give you an example. You walk into a bar. And there's a group of hot chicks talking to a couple of guys. You use one of your set openers, and you get into the conversation. You get some buying signals from one of the girls, but it's obvious that one of the other guys there is either there with her or is hitting on her. Maybe your ugly friend set her up. Whatever. You don't care. Here's an example of the conversation. You. Hey, dude, talking to the cock blocker. That's a cool shirt, man. I had one of those a few years ago. Where'd you get it? Him. I don't remember. You. Is that silk? You reach in and touch it, and then you look disappointed. Oh, no, okay, it's not. Him. I think it is. You, shrugging. Yeah, anyway. And you start talking to the women. Later on. You. So, was that you driving that little Toyota car I saw out front? The one that's part electric or something? Him. No, I drive a Corvette, man. It's the red one with... You. Are you sure that wasn't your car? It had these fuzzy dice and shiny rims. It was actually kind of nice for a tiny car. Probably gets about 80 miles to the gallon, huh? Him. No, man. I've got a Vette. You, laughing and waving your hands at him. Whoa, it's okay, dude. No one's insulting your Corvette. What color is that hot sports car of yours? Proceeding to shoot the shit and just talk about engines for a while. This cools him back off. Now, after a while, you're going to have to keep slipping in subtle indications that you've got this guy's game, but he's going to get a little peeved once in a while. That's how you know you're out alphaing him. You then calm him down again. Him, man, stop making fun of me. You, hey, it's okay, man. I like you. You're like a big teddy bear. You remind me of my kid brother. Give him a one-arm dude hug and then wait for an indication that he's cooled off again but feels dumb about getting all pissed about it. You, but don't get any crazy ideas there, okay? I noticed you had your eye on my butt a little while ago. That's okay. I'm not offended. Remember to get overly friendly with your steps in. When you go in to regain the friendly air with him, you have to seem almost too friendly, enough so that the women pick up on this, but he just thinks you're being a swell guy. Give her a few glances from time to time to let her know that you're fucking with him. Slip in a wink at her that he can't see. You'll know you're pulling this off successfully when he starts trying to befriend you because he sees that his actions are slipping and the women are starting to pull for you. He'll try to get on your good graces by flattering you or buying you drinks. You have to watch out because he's going to try and screw you right back at the first chance he gets. He may even go to the other end of the spectrum and lose his cool, which makes you look even better. All you have to do is appease him again and pay him a small compliment that he'll believe. And then she will also see as being a little patronizing. Remember, this is an advanced strategy. You have to have your shit together to pull this off, or you might find yourself in a seriously compromised position. He might call you on your insults, and then you could find yourself in the alley fighting with some guy who just got out of state pen in that morning. You got to ride the knife's edge between insult and diffusing the insult with an attitude of, dude, I'm just fucking with you. Relax, man. You have to back off at the right time and even give fake apologies from time to time to seem like you're not baiting him too hard. But if you pull it off, it works like a champ. He'll look like a prick because he's getting all angry and uptight while you're just having a little fun. And the women will see this, too. In the end, he'll look like the asshole and you will come out smelling like a rose. Tame your demons. First of all, let me tell you that I've never done much in the way of recreational reality altering, otherwise known as drugs. I guess I was afraid of the consequences more than anything else. I'm not judging anyone that uses any drugs. It's just that I've never found much use for them. Reality is challenging enough, nor have I ever wanted to be enslaved by another substance. However, I've always had a good handle on my good friend, Mr. Alcohol. We've gone back a long way, and I've learned how to handle alcohol in all its forms. Luckily for me, drinking has never been a problem. I drink, I get drunk, I fall down. No problem. No, seriously, folks. I've never had any real alcoholic inclinations here. I've never felt the need to drink heavily or even the need to drink every day. And I'm at the point in my life now where drinking is basically only social and very limited. I've also found that my athletic training also reduces my desire for it. There's a saying, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. Well, I've stuck to alcohol because that's just my favorite demon, and I know exactly how he works and how to manage him. I think the secret in life, in a lot of ways, is to choose your demons well, because every man has one or two in his life. My point here is that you should watch out for the negative effects of alcohol and anything else that you would find difficult to control in your life. And this is even more applicable to men who are striving to achieve a more balanced sense of themselves, and they're aiming for the alpha man goals that I'm putting forth in this program. There's a big trap in the use of alcohol as a method to reduce your inhibitions. I call this the liquid balls problem. There are many people, male and female, who claim that they're only able to have fun or relax after they've had a couple of drinks. There are even many more guys who can only seem to work up their courage to approach and talk to women if they've had a few. I used to call this kind of drinking liquid balls. And that's the distorted belief that the beer or mixed drinks are what you need to let go of your fear of rejection. It does work in a lot of cases. The problem is when it becomes a crutch. Whenever we fail to do something that we want to do or know that we should do for our benefit, it's always one emotion that's calling the shots. Fear. Fear grinds your life to a halt and incapacitates you. Then, to avoid the pain and psychological dissonance that this creates in your head, you start to make up illusions and excuses as to why you're doing what you're doing so that you don't have to feel bad about the failure. No one wants to feel bad about him or herself, so we all have to make it right in our minds. Unfortunately, this often paralyzes us so that we set ourselves up for learned helplessness. We can give up trying to avoid the perceived pain of failure. We give up trying to make our lives better because of the comfort of the present becoming more important than the possible pleasure of the future. We just plain give up, not just on life, but on living. We become addicted to avoiding pain. And that last one is the one you should really watch out for, because this is very close to the addiction to comfort. And that desire will sabotage all the success you might want from your life. No great success comes without discomfort. And avoiding that pain will lower you to beta guy status faster than you can possibly imagine. So watch out for your addictions and any of the demons that may come up in your own life. It's not just alcohol. It's cocaine, heroin, meth, ecstasy, any of the new designer drugs that come out every year. It's also television, rage, bigotry, overeating, sexism, and gambling. We all have our demons, and we may never get rid of them completely, but we should know how to control them and keep them from hurting us. Use your risk-reward ability. Look at the benefits you receive from your actions and ask yourself, are they in proportion to the pain that you're inducing? Don't wait for an intervention that may never come. What's your mission? For the last 10 years, I've put my mission statement on my resume. A mission statement, you ask? Isn't that for companies? Well, companies use them, and unfortunately, companies abuse them. Face it, corporations have turned the concept of the mission statement into the something of a cliche, a joke of some 1980s management fad. Even Dilbert, the cartoon by Scott Adams, used to have an online mission statement generator that used a ton of these corporate terms that you hate to hear or use and tied them together randomly. To challenge our employees and our shareholders, by proactively pursuing excellence and establishing a forward-thinking paradigm while thinking outside the box, blah, 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 blah. The premise is actually quite sound, though. As the saying goes, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And most people don't realize that a corporation is a completely autonomous legal entity, meaning that even if all the employees were to quit or disappear, the company would still exist as long as there were stock owners. Without a statement of purpose, it could get very difficult for all the employees to stay on track. Well, the same thing applies to our lives. You need a purpose in your life, something you can live by, a code, if you will. You should sit down and write up your own mission statement, something that captures your purpose here on planet Earth. Just keep it short and to the point. It's been said that the longer a company's mission statement, the less likely it is to be successful. I tend to agree. The same applies to your own mission statement. When you've got a statement you can believe in, and it will take several revisions to get this right, commit it to memory and keep it on a card in your wallet. Review it when you find yourself in a slump or lacking motivation. Remember that you're in your life for the long haul, and you own it. This is something you can't trade in or sell. This is your company. This is the company of you, and you can only make it the best that you possibly can. Alpha Trait Review. There are a lot of characteristics of alpha men, and many probably slip by you each day without notice. What I'm going to do is point out some of the traits you may have noticed that seem to correspond to guys who are dominant, and give you some explanation as to why women find them attractive. This is why women think the way they do about alpha men. Tattoos. The use of body markings as a defining trait of warriors goes back several thousand years. Tattoos are still popular as a way of showing that you can A, handle some pain, B, have the guts to make a statement with body art. Just remember that they're relatively permanent, so choose one wisely. Body piercing. Yet another way of marking the body for physical adornment. Piercing has the benefit of being much less drastic in terms of permanence. A hole will usually heal. It's another way of saying that you aren't afraid to stand out in a crowd. Gang membership. Gangs fulfill a large part of the affiliation drive of men, to become a part of some larger group as well as feel the acceptance of our peers. Finding a group or a group so that you can participate in is a healthy and important part of being a man. Groups that you can lead are even better to demonstrate your alpha man power. Sports. As they say, sporting events are really nothing more than legalized, non-deadly warfare. Guys like sports. It doesn't matter which. I will draw the line at badminton or synchronized swimming. It doesn't matter which sport you like, but you should find one that brings out some healthy male competition in you. Nice guys are afraid to compete. Alpha men thrive on it. Wealth. A man's financial status indicates his overall ability to provide for a woman. Up until recent times, a woman's future was determined solely by the man that she chose to marry and stay with. Now that women can accumulate wealth, as well as any man, a man has to find more ways to demonstrate his own command of his money. As we spoke about earlier, you must educate yourself about how money and investing works. Physical size. Again, as with wealth, a woman could see how sturdy a man was, generally indicating his genetic strength. A large physical presence usually equated to a man who is most capable of providing and protecting her. She still equates this feature with a man that she feels secure with. Women do not need a man to be burly and huge, but they want one that is in good physical shape, that's capable of protecting her. Fame, popularity. Not many men realize this, but the alpha man status is also heavily influenced by factors other than pure physical domination. A man who can negotiate and employ his cunning social skills is highly valued by women and other men. Fame and popularity indicate a man's overall social abilities. They also indicate his own security with himself, since insecure men are usually not well established in a social circle. Patience, attitude. Again, women can figure out all they need to know about you by your attitude towards life. The most stable men out there have a good sense of self-confidence, and the bad guys are impatient and they reek of agenda. A man's confidence is the same thing to a woman that a woman's looks are to a man. What's inside you is what really attracts women. But she only sees what's inside you based on how you act on the outside. So take a close look at your actions and your outside world and think about what that is communicating to her. Self-development. Most guys do not want to put in the effort necessary to make the lives that they want. It takes work, and it is in human nature to avoid work, to be lazy. But think about it for a moment. What else do we have to do during our lives but work? I learned a while back that the most fulfilling thing in life is to do so much during your day that you fall dead asleep when you go to bed at night. That's about the most accurate barometer of self-fulfillment I've been able to find. Because if you've been having trouble falling asleep at night, that generally means that you're probably spending more time thinking than doing. You're too idle. You're too much without purpose. If you work at life, putting aside all of your petty self-concerns, you'll eventually find something worth doing that takes your mind off of yourself. And that's the ideal state of mind for the alpha man. Alpha strategy. One of the most effective methods of change for me has been putting things in writing. This includes not only the goals I'm shooting for, but every other behavior you need to keep a critical eye on. You need to keep a journal. This journal will contain all vital events regarding your experience, your life. Try to keep it fact-based, not feelings-based, though you can also make a note of those emotional situations if you can use the information to get you to motivate yourself again. Again, most emotions don't really help us. They just confuse things. Make notes about dates, seductions, failures, successes. Set a time each week to review the information and your goals for the next week. The next step, after you do the review, you must plan new actions. These are the things you'll plan to do in the coming week to change the results you got the previous. You want to improve for the next time. For example, if you went out to 3 different bars in the previous week, you got 12 phone numbers and got shot down on all of them because you didn't really establish really good rapport with those women, you have to now plan a change so that you get different results. Someone once said that insanity is doing the same things over and over while expecting different results. Every week, you have to plan the time to sit down and review this stuff. Make sure you take your own self-improvement under your control. Another strategy is to build in time to listen to uplifting and positive tapes or CDs every week, preferably every single day if you can find the time. I bought a bunch of tapes from Nightingale Conant way back, and they're the single most important factor of my personal development. I overcame negative thinking, anger, and so many other obstacles after I started to listen to real achievers talk about the ways to make these changes happen in your life. Nothing has had a better effect on my life than listening to those tapes. I remember them now. I would be riding and driving throughout the Midwest when I was working at a particular job where I had to travel a lot, and I would just pop in tape after tape after tape, back in the cassette tape days, of course, and tons of it on CDs as well. You can't get enough of this stuff, and I urge you to find a positive flow of this in your own lifestyle. Television, newspapers, and the popular media are happy to tell you about who was killed today and what great tragedies are going on around the world, but they'll never tell you about the uplifting stories of hope and happiness, or how to make yourself a better person. You actually have to work to find that information, but it's out there just the same. The way I look at it, I'm here to live for about the same amount of time as most everybody else, and I'll be damned if I'm going to spend it in a pool of negativity and self-pity. My attitude is always under my control. And guess which attitude is most attractive to women? Note, guys tend to get really hung up on finding out why something happened, or the reasons for it. We seem to have an innate need to understand the causes for things, and this often trips us up. A whole bunch of analysis and therapy may eventually tell you why you do something or why you feel certain emotions, but only you can change them. This hasn't changed in the few thousand years of civilization, and it isn't likely to change in the next few. Accept this quickly so you don't waste your time on the fruitless search for the reasons why. The only thing in the world that really matters is getting the results you want. Let me say that again. The only thing in the world that really matters is getting the results you want. This is what I refer to as the therapist trap. We become so caught up in the why that we fail to see that it doesn't really matter why. We sometimes think that knowing why will allow us to simply stop doing one thing and start doing another. Once we know why we did it, we'll just go, oh, that's why. Now I'll do this instead. Well, don't go for this trap. The only thing that matters is making the changes to do what you need to do. Chasing the reasons why is not going to get you the results you look for. The meaning of life. Yes, I managed to figure out the meaning of life while I was writing this particular book and recording this program. It's a nice little benefit for all the hard work, don't you think? Oh, I know, you're dying to know what it is, aren't you? You're just sitting on the edge of your chair, finally thrilled to find the answer as to why we're all here. Well, the simplest explanation I ever heard for the meaning of life came from, oddly enough, the show The Sopranos. It was one of those things that could have slipped by unnoticed and probably did slip by most people, but I happened to catch it, and it seems to me to make the most sense of any definition I've ever really heard. Here it is. Life is easy some of the time, and most other times it's pretty tough. A man copes with the good times and the bad times, and he takes his pleasures where he can. I also heard this line in a movie, anything worth doing in life will not be easy. That's not what you're expecting, huh? You wanted something more spectacular, like you are all meant to be good to each other, or pray every day, or raise your children well. Well, the fact is that there are as many meanings of life as there are people on this planet. Your meaning will differ wildly from mine, or from anybody's for that matter. You decide your own meaning. You have to put your own foot down and decide what your life is about, and then live that life as if it's all you've got. Because quite frankly, this life is all you've got. Most men and women live their lives in complete ignorance of their own personal meaning, mostly because they were too afraid to choose something and just stick with it. They were more afraid of making the wrong decision, and so they made no decision, which is still a decision. So what's the most important thing in life? The answer isn't important to anybody else, because there isn't just one right answer. What's important is that you have an answer. The Alpha Man Code. I want you to memorize this list of affirmations, and then I want you to add to it. These are basically pronouncements of your power, and they will reach your thoughts at a very subconscious level if you take the time and effort to embed them in your mind. The first step is memorization. The second step is anchoring them to your highly charged, positive emotional state. And the last step is reciting them regularly enough that they reach your subconscious. This is your code. I want you to live it. 1. I make no excuses for myself as a man, and I'm innocent, not guilty. 2. Every week of my life is an exciting, action-packed adventure. 3. There is no woman alive who can resist my charm and charisma. 4. My confidence is unstoppable. 5. I have the power and the passion to make my life what I will. 6. I act, I don't react. 7. I control my emotions every minute of every day. 8. I am not intimidated by anyone. 9. I act swiftly to get what I want from life. He who hesitates is lost. 10. Fear is a mind killer. I will use my fear as power. 11. I will work every day to improve myself, learn, and become more powerful. 12. I live my life by my own code of honor. 13. My actions mirror my beliefs congruently. 14. I'm a powerful communicator. 15. I never apologize for myself. You know you're an alpha when... Here are some of the indications you're getting your alpha attitude in the right direction. These are some of the primary signals of alpha thinking, and when you find this happening more and more often, you're going to know that you're on the right track. These are the signals and the indicators. You forget to call women, or they slip through the cracks. Yes, it will happen. Eventually, you'll have so much activity in your social and sex life that women and friends will occasionally be forgotten in the mix. It's just your crazy social schedule, and that's all there is to it. It's better to have too many things to do and miss a few than too few activities and do them all. I'm not saying that you neglect your friends, but if you want to experience a life of abundance, you have to be willing to let a few things slip from time to time. You no longer react to the actions of other men or women without pausing and strategizing. Every man has to learn to place a pause between stimulus and response. You have to think before you act. That's typically the mark of a mature alpha man. Your sex drive increases and your masturbation decreases. That's right, those solo adventures you have with Rosie Palm and her five blister sisters will become a thing of the past. You'll actually have less incentive to masturbate when you've got an active sexual life because it's so much more fulfilling with a woman than it is all by yourself. In fact, you'll miss the occasional choke-your-chicken session. It'll seem like an indulgence, a special time for you to catch up on old times with your favorite trouser pal. Seriously. You find yourself doing and saying things that are controversial and not caring what other people think about you. Some things that fall into this category are calling women on their bullshit, getting real with friends and family on their behavior and their manipulation, forming your own opinions. You'll start to find yourself taking a stand on issues and being willing to express disagreement without being defensive or insecure. You'll be able to define what your code of honor is and stand by it. You'll recognize the wimpy behaviors of other men and cringe to think that you once acted this way. Yes, it'll be embarrassing, but you'll start to identify the things you used to do wrong, and you'll see it in your friends' behaviors too. The trick here is not to become too dogmatic about your newfound awareness. Don't get preachy to your guy friends. This is too much like bragging. Just demonstrate the success that they wish they were having, and when they want to know more about it, they'll ask. If they're not ready, they won't be able to understand or learn it anyways. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. You turn down nearly as many women as you sleep with. The alpha man is choosy, not promiscuous. The temptation will be there for you to use this ability to get laid all the time, but a real alpha knows that not all his women are fit for this particular honor. You'll learn to eject those wrong women as quickly as possible to make room for the right ones. Your goals become a priority for you. You feel drawn to your own future as a path, and you find that your mission in life becomes a priority, not women. Women become a secondary priority to you. I said it before, but you'll notice a distinct shift in your focus when you achieve a life of sexual abundance. It's a self-reinforcing spiral that goes like this. He learns what being an alpha man is all about. He corrects his attitude. He gets laid. He gets more confident. He gets laid again. He realizes there's more to life than just chasing skirt, and he gets other passions. Girls get more attracted to him even more. He gets laid all the time, seemingly when he tries the least and does what it is that he wants. You'll find more success in every area of your life. As a result of taking on more alpha man behaviors, you'll find that you'll become more successful in your business and your professional life as well. The kinds of characteristics that we've reviewed here, mostly in the context of getting more women, once integrated into your personality, will also have the side effect of bringing you added financial and life success along the way. Now I'm going to complete this program by giving you a list of a few resources for you to tap into. These are what I call the required alpha man learning materials, because a big part of your learning process entails observing male behavior in the wild. After you've gotten through this program, you're now going to have an understanding of what the alpha man is like. Expand your learning by reading these books and watching the movies that I recommend for firsthand observation. Soon you're going to be able to take any person and figure out whether they're a true alpha or just another beta guy. Some of the things you need to listen to are the Bad Boy Formula, one of my programs you can get at carlozuma.com, How to Talk to Women, of course, also at carlozuma.com, The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. This is an essential book that you absolutely must read, as well as his other book with 50 Cent on the 50th Law and The Laws of War, The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli, The Book of Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer, The Tao of Pooh, The Lucifer Principle by Howard Bloom, The Power to Influence by Paul McKenna, it's a Nightingale Conan audio program, and The 10 Qualities of Charismatic People by Tony Alessandra. Just basically pick up any Nightingale Conan audio tape or CD set, get on their catalog list, start investing in your own self-development. You cannot have too many of their programs. Some of the movies you might want to check out are Gladiator, of course. Russell Crowe is the epitome of male confidence, strength, and honor. Maverick, Mel Gibson's character, imitates wimpiness, but he's really demonstrating the hallmark characteristics of the confident and very effective alpha man. Most all of the James Bond movies, especially the early Sean Connery films, Groundhog Day. Watch Bill Murray's transformation from clueless Joker to balanced guy, and it's priceless. But the best part is watching him learn to change his impact and influence on people. The Empire Strikes Back. Han Solo is the man in this classic and probably the best of all the Star Wars movies. Back to the Future. See George McFly. See George McFly change from a low self-esteem wimp into an alpha man. The Breakfast Club. Observe the way the Judd Nelson's character draws in Molly Ringwald by showing her what a fuck-the-world attitude is really like. Fight Club. This movie is the quintessential statement of the anger in today's male society, and the theme underneath the violence and the chaos these men wreak is actually louder and clearer. And one of the most important things you can do for yourself is to also get yourself enrolled in a martial arts or self-defense training program. Nothing will change your level of confidence more significantly than knowing that you can handle yourself in a physical confrontation. It absolutely changes your outlook on the world and your confidence level, and you must do it. This is Carlos Zuma, and it's been a pleasure giving you this program, The Secrets of the Alpha Man. And again, keep studying, keep learning, keep growing to become the alpha man that women want. CX out.